This is Audible.
Amelia and the Viscount, Blue Stocking Brides, Book 1, written by Samantha Holt, narrated by Stevie Zimmerman. Chapter 1. "She's doing it again," Catherine complained. Amelia paused in the entranceway of Luckington Grange and grimaced. Their sister was indeed singing again. "She really needs to stop. No one wants to listen to that," Catherine continued. "Let Emma be. She enjoys it." Her youngest sister rolled her eyes. "No one else does, apart from Mama, perhaps." "Is Mama home?" Catherine shrugged off her pelisse and handed it to the patiently waiting Mrs. Holmes, who hung it up with the sort of swift efficiency one expected from a woman who had been serving their household for nigh on 2 decades. "No, she's visiting with Mrs. Riley. Lucky her. She does not have to suffer endless hours of this racket." Amelia winced when Emma reached a particularly high note. "Hopefully she shall tire of it soon. Singing will be like her many other passions with any luck." Catherine shook her head. "Well, she normally tires of them much quicker. If we're not careful, she shall be convinced she's the finest vocalist around, and then we shall be in trouble." "It shall pass," Amelia assured her. "What shall pass?" Covered head to toe in streaks of mud, Julia swept in through the door. Mrs. Holmes gave a gasp at the sight and shook her head rigorously as she came to take Julia's filthy pelisse. "You'd better not go traipsing through the house with those boots," the housekeeper scolded. "They're not so bad," Julia insisted. "What shall pass?" "The wailing," Catherine said dramatically. "The persistent, unending, ear-splitting wailing." Julia looked at Amelia. "She's singing again." She paused and made a face. "If that can be called singing. Really, Amelia, we need to tell her to stop. She'll make an utter fool of herself if she does that in public." "One has to be out in public to do such a thing," Amelia pointed out. "We are all out. It is just that no one wants us out." Catherine tossed up her chin. "Not that I care. They can keep their stuffy balls and parties. I would rather be looking at the stars anyway." "Not everyone loathes us." The words came out less insistent than Amelia would have liked. The truth was, the Chadwick girls were known to be unusual. It had started with Cousin Bess, then continued with her, really. First, Cousin Bess had run off to America with the vicar's son. Then Amelia's passion for writing had tainted them all. She regretted that she had not been cleverer when it had come to her first written tales. She should have adopted a pen name instantly. Then no one would ever have thought of them as odd. Although the Cousin Bess scandal would never be forgotten, even if her writing was. Her sisters did not help their cause much, either. Julia was always outside, studying nature and all those that resided within it. Her latest interest was the mating habits of otters. It was hardly the sort of topic one could speak about at a ball. Catherine loved the stars so much that she kept hours entirely different to everyone else. The chances were she was only awake because of Emma's singing. As for Emma, Amelia sighed inwardly. She had yet to find her passion. She went through several a year, if not more. Each new thing would be focused on with such intensity that it drove them all mad. But it would pass, and she would find something new to put her energy into. Amelia would almost rather she was digging around in the dirt or watching stars all night. Emma needed to find out who she really was somehow. "Well, I had better wash, or else Mrs. H. will kill me in my sleep." Julia lifted her hands to reveal the dirt ingrained in them. "I made some excellent notes, though. Well worth it." Catherine yawned. "And I am going to bury my head under a pillow to drown out that din, seeing as Amelia refuses to tell Emma the truth." "I do not see why I must tell her," Amelia protested. "Because you're the oldest," both sisters intoned. Catherine chuckled. "You see, dear sister, we follow your lead. You are entirely responsible for the disasters that are the Chadwick girls." The teasing glint in Catherine's eyes did nothing to assuage the guilt building in her stomach. Amelia forced a smile, but she could not hide from the truth. Their mother and father were far too busy to pay much attention to these unruly girls, so it had been up to Amelia to guide her sisters as best as she could. It seemed, however, she had been unable to guide them in quite the right direction. Another high note vibrated through the house. Catherine shoved a finger in each ear. "I'm off. I cannot stand another moment of it." Her youngest sister stalked out of the room, and her footsteps could be heard hammering up the stairs like a herd of cows. Julia put a hand to Amelia's arm, then removed it, swiftly realizing her mistake. A dusty brown handprint marred Amelia's sleeve. "Oops!" Amelia shook her head. "It does not matter. I'm not going anywhere today." "Why are you hanging about the hallway, then? There are better places to escape Emma's singing." "I'm awaiting a letter." "From the publisher?" Amelia nodded. "I should have news on the publication of my latest book." Julia grinned. "If only I could tell the world my sister is a famous author." "Not that famous." "Famous enough. You are the talk of the town." "How would you know that? You've not been to London in 2 years." Her sister shrugged. "I read the gossip columns just as you do. Your stories are so scandalous, how can they not talk about them?" Heat warmed Amelia's cheeks. Writing scandalous stories and talking about them were two different things. What escaped her brain onto paper never quite reconciled with the outer version of her. Her sisters had read her publications, to be sure, but Amelia refused to discuss the books with them. Mama seemed to be oblivious, and considered them to be love stories of some kind, whilst their father had no idea that Amelia wrote under a pen name. If it were up to her, no one would know at all, but she and her sisters had an amazing ability to understand everything about each other. Growing up with so many sisters left little room for privacy. "Do not blush, Amelia," Julia said with a twisted grin. "We all know just how naughty that mind of yours is. All that kissing, and those naughty liaisons. The tant only talk about it because it's far too true." Amelia would not know. Not really. Her life experience amounted to a kiss with Tommy Bridges in the stables. But as soon as she had entered society, she had understood there was more to it than met the eye. Underneath the refinement were all those things she wrote of. Love, scandal, lies. Of course, her writing had really caught people's interest when she began writing about true love and Nicholas. A sigh escaped her. "You are thinking about him, I can tell." Julia's eyes glinted. Much like the majority of the Chadwick sisters, Julia had green eyes and red hair. The only one of them to differ was Lavinia. Fair-haired, blue-eyed and buxom. For some reason, the rest of them had not been so blessed. Lavinia was the picture of their mother, while they were all like their father. Taking after one's father was not exactly ideal when one was a young lady. "I am not," Amelia protested. "I hardly think of him at all." "You still love him?" She lifted her chin. "Do not. Do so." Emma skipped into the room and paused. Amelia hadn't even noticed Emma had stopped singing. "What are you arguing about?" she asked, swinging her gaze between them. A brow raised as she took in Julia's filthy appearance. "Sweet Lord, Julia, were you playing with the pigs?" "I most certainly was not." Julia folded her arms. "And we are not arguing." "It sounded like an argument to me," Emma said. Amelia waved a hand, keen to put an end to this nonsense. If only her sisters would leave her be, and let her wait for the post. "It was nothing." "She was sighing again." Julia gave Emma a nudge. "You know what that means." "Nicholas," they both said. "I was not sighing, and nor was I thinking of him." Once again her cheeks heated. Her sisters would accuse her of fibbing, and perhaps she was. She did think of him on occasion, that much was true. But she was no longer some silly girl, utterly in love with a man who would never love her back. No, no, she was not that foolish. Not one bit. What woman, in their right mind, would love a man who had shown himself to be heartsick over another woman, and not just any woman, their prettiest and sweetest sister, Lavinia. The third Chadwick sister had been married nearly 6 months now, and had moved all the way to Scotland with her braw laird of a husband. Neil was a handsome man indeed, but if Amelia had been her sister, there would have been no competition. Nicholas was far more of a catch. Julia wagged a finger at her.
"You need to write about him more. Pen some of those letters that work so well in your books. That will rid you of him."
Emma nodded.
"Oh, yes, those letters are fantastic."
Amelia wouldn't mention that she'd already penned at least a half dozen more of those. In one of her more melancholy moments, her sisters had persuaded her to write letters to Nicholas. Not to ever be sent off, of course, but as a way of coming to terms with her feelings for him. They had ended up published in her most popular love story, a tale of a man who had never spotted what was in front of him until it was too late. The sequel would include more letters, and a hero who had been pining for the heroine for years, just as she had him. But would they get a second chance? Amelia grimaced. Second chances might happen in fiction, but there would not even be a first chance for her. Nicholas had only ever had eyes for Lavinia, and who could blame him? Lavinia was sweet, kind, beautiful, and simply adorable. Everyone loved her, and Amelia loved her no less, even after it was clear the man she loved had fallen for Lavinia. "Do you not need a wash?" Amelia asked Julia pointedly. "If Mama comes home and sees you like that, she shall have a fit."
"Pff, she's seen worse."
Nevertheless, Julia headed up the stairs. Apparently she was not as bold as she liked to think, and it was not worth tempting Mama's wrath. As much as she adored them all, she had little patience for their unladylike hobbies and demeanours.
"Did you hear me?"
Emma asked, her eyes shining. Amelia turned to her sister.
Yes, your voice is quite strong, is it not?"
"I think I've made quite a bit of progress. With more practice, I shall certainly be ready to sing for others before long. Mrs. H. said she had never heard the likes of it before, and Catherine declared I would have everyone spellbound."
"Spellbound, indeed. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it." Inwardly, she winced at her weak words. She should just tell her how terrible she really was before she made a fool of herself. But, as she had told her sisters, Emma would find another hobby soon enough, and hopefully before she decided to put herself on display. The world certainly did not need more of Emma Chadwick's voice.
"Are you busy?" Emma asked. "I could do with someone to turn the music for me."
The thought of standing over her sister's shoulder while listening to the din made her shudder. Amelia shook her head. "I'm expecting a letter from my publisher at any moment, and I'm sure I shall have work to do once it arrives."
"Will you be writing more about Amelia and Nicholas?"
Amelia gave her a stern look.
"There never was and never will be an Amelia and Nicholas."
Emma waved a hand.
"Anna and Nathaniel, then. Will their story continue?"
Pursing her lips, Amelia shrugged. "Perhaps, perhaps not. It is probably time their story ended."
"With a happily ever after, I hope,"
Emma said with glee. Amelia didn't answer. Happily ever afters existed for people like Lavinia, to be certain, but for people like her and her other sisters, she was not so sure.
Chapter 2. The shrill sound of Emma once again rattled the house. Mrs. Holmes walked past with a pile of sheets and rolled her eyes. Amelia gave a shrug. What could they do? Whatever Emma turned her mind to, Emma was convinced she was wonderful at. A few weeks ago it had been juggling. The cook had not been pleased with all the bruised fruit that had entailed. And what was it before that? Painting, perhaps? No, it must have been pastry-making, because Mama had declared it undignified for a lady to be putting her hands in dough.
"Give her time," Amelia told the housekeeper.
"Time?" Mrs. Holmes snorted, as she pushed open the bedroom door with her back. "Well, she's had plenty of time. You all have. None of you is getting younger, and this racket will not help with the finding of husbands."
"I'm not so sure Emma cares for the finding of husbands.
nor do any of us.
Mrs. Hughes gave her a knowing look.
You care about the finding of one husband.
She vanished into the bedroom before Amelia could protest. Amelia huffed and made her way through the long gallery that ran along the side of the house. Luckington was an old Tudor house that even had its own moat. Once upon a time there might have been a drawbridge separating it from the land, but now a small brick bridge connected it to their front lawns. The house was rickety, with crooked and creaky floorboards. Some sloped slightly, and gave one a sense of dizziness if one was not used to it. The small windows were etched with lead lines, segmenting them into little diamonds, while a stained glass crest adorned the top of each window. It had been possessed by the Chadwicks for nearly 400 years in its various incarnations, and with any luck would continue to be, if Lavinia had a son. Amelia paused to stare out over the moat at the oak trees that occupied one side of the land. The day was grey and threatening rain. At least Julia had returned home before the weather had broken, though it would not have been the first time any of her sisters had returned home drenched. None of them were particularly good at paying attention to the weather. They all had too many other things of which to think. Of course, that meant all their hopes had to rest upon Lavinia for a son to inherit. With all her sisters preoccupied with many unladylike things, they had no hope of marrying the rest of them off. But, as she had said to Mrs. Holmes, none of them particularly cared for the idea of marriage. By some twist of fate, all the Chadwick girls had been bestowed the gift of indolence and strong minds, though sometimes Amelia considered it a curse. Even Lavinia had such gifts, but she was somehow able to craft herself into someone more acceptable. She caught sight of her miserable reflection and stuck her tongue out at it. What a miserable beast she was! She had to stop moping and thinking of marriage and worrying for her sisters. Amelia especially had to stop thinking of marriage. After all, she was over him. Was she not? She had not seen Nicholas in 6 months, and she was thoroughly over him. So what if she still penned letters and wrote about the couple who had been conjured up in her mind after all her heartache? It didn't mean anything. Pushing open her bedroom door, she set down the letter from the publisher. It seemed as though there was more need for Anna and Nathaniel. Everyone wanted a happy ever after for them. She sighed. Did she even have it in her? Writing had once brought her such pleasure, but she was not so sure now. Perhaps she should turn her attentions back to the silly scandal she wrote about which had started her career, and brought too much attention her way. As soon as she had realized the power of her writing, and how it could tarnish them all, she opted for a pen name. Her first short story in a newspaper had been the talk of their small village for months on end, never mind London. She pulled out the chair and froze to peer at her desk. It was never exactly organized, but something was not quite right. Several moments of staring at it, and a sudden pang struck her. The letters! Oh, no! She pushed aside the various notes and pieces of paper on the desk. She picked up a book, then another. The letters she had written to Nicholas, where were they? Flinging more paper aside, she grew frantic. It was all very well that they were eventually going to be published, but they weren't ready. They still had Nicholas's name on. She pushed her journal aside, and it landed on the floor with a thump. Her door swung open mere moments later, and Catherine poked her head in. "Don't tell me you've decided to take up country dancing in your bedroom." "No!" Amelia snapped, ignoring her sister in pursuit of finding the missing letters. "They have to be here somewhere." "What do?" She paused. "My letters." "You write lots of letters, Amelia." "Letters," Amelia said tightly, "that were for my next book. Letters bearing a certain man's name."
"Oh."
Catherine glanced around Amelia's disorganized room. "Well, as you say, they must be here somewhere." She picked up a cushion and dumped it back on the chair. "You really would benefit from being more organized." "Help me look." Amelia motioned about the room. "I must find them." "There's no need to panic." Catherine propped her hands on her hips. "It's just letters." "But it's not just..." Amelia shook her head. She could never explain it to her sisters. "Never mind." Catherine began searching the room, flinging things here and there.
She kicked aside an old easel and it fell to the floor. They both jumped at the thud.
"Careful," Amelia scolded.
"You need to have a clear out. Your bedroom is worse than Emma's." Amelia fixed her sister with a look.
"Yours is not much better."
"What's going on?"
Julia popped her head in through the doorway.
"Goodness, Amelia, your room is a mess."
"Yes, sir, I've been told, thank you."
She picked up a stack of old papers and began leafing through them. "We're looking for Amelia's letters," Catherine declared.
"Oh, I'll help. I'm great at finding things."
Julia stepped into the room and paused.
"What sort of letters?"
"Letters about you-know-who," Catherine whispered.
"Why are you whispering?"
Emma demanded, coming to stand in the doorway.
"I heard a thud. Is someone hurt?"
"I'm surprised you heard anything over your singing," Catherine muttered.
Amelia shot her youngest sister a look before turning her attention to Emma.
"No one is hurt. I'm just looking for something."
"Yes, letters," Julia said.
"About Nicholas," Catherine murmured.
"I'll help look."
Emma eased in through the doorway. Amelia shook her head. With the four of them in the room, there was hardly enough room to breathe, let alone search. But she had to find those letters. What if they had fallen into the hands of a servant or something? Only her sisters, their mother, and Mrs. Holmes knew of her writing. That was already too many people as far as she was concerned. But she had needed her mother's help with handling her earnings, and her sisters were too nosy and knew her too well for her to be able to keep secrets from them. As for Mrs. Holmes, well, she had known her since she was a baby and had practically raised her.
"I'll search the bookcase."
Emma strode over and began pulling books off the shelves and shaking them. Catherine planted hands to hips and scowled.
"They're hardly going to be in there. Amelia would remember if she'd put them in a book, would you not, Amelia?"
"I'm sure I would."
Emma ignored Catherine and continued plucking the books off one by one and piling them on the floor.
"You never know. She might not have been thinking, too busy dreaming of Nicholas."
"I was not dreaming of Nicholas."
Amelia could feel the heat scalding her cheeks. As much as she loved her sisters, they really could be too much sometimes. Julia kicked aside the rug and kneeled to peel it back.
"Could they have slipped through the floorboards?"
"No, they were in a bundle."
Amelia paused and looked around her messy room. It looked as though a strong wind had blown through. Catherine pulled back the bedsheets, then began gleefully tearing away the undersheet.
"Enough!"
Amelia threw up her hands.
"They're not here, and they're certainly not under my sheets."
Catherine pouted.
"I thought you might have kept them under your pillow, to be close to them."
With a huff, Amelia began hustling her sisters out of the room.
"I'll look myself. You lot are making things worse."
"We're only trying to help,"
Julia objected.
"You know, if they were bundled up, then they might have been..."
Amelia gave her sister a push on the back, and all three of them spilled out into the gallery.
"They might have been picked up by one of the servants,"
Julia suggested, as the three of them straightened themselves out.
"No, surely..."
Amelia paused. Her heart sank into her stomach.
"Mrs. H. would know not to, but..."
Catherine propped her chin on Julia's shoulder.
"We have a new laundry maid. She's very eager to please. Maybe she picked them up."
"Oh, no."
Amelia put a palm to her face.
"Does it really matter?"
Julia asked.
"Just ask for them back. She's so sweet, there's no way she would have read them. She likely picked them up and realised they weren't really for sending and has not had the chance to put them back yet."
"No, you don't understand."
Amelia released a long breath.
"I'd address them to Nicholas."
Emma pushed past Julia, much to their sister's annoyance.
"But why would you do such a thing?"
"Oh, I don't know. It just felt right. I wanted to make it as real as possible, to trick myself into believing that I was really going to write to him and tell him all my feelings."
Her sisters shared a look.
"My old feelings, of course. I am thoroughly over him."
"Well, Flora..."
She swung a look at her sisters.
"It was Flora, was it not? We'll probably still have them."
"And if she does not..." Amelia pinched the bridge of her nose.
"Nicholas will know everything."
"Everything?"
they all asked.
I wrote them under my pen name.
Oh, there we go. You're saved, Catherine grinned. He will simply wonder why this stranger is sending him love notes and forget about it.
Amelia shook her head. As much as she hoped that was true, she could not risk it. If Nicholas had been sent those letters, there was a chance he could realise it was Amelia and connect her to her pen name. Then there would be more scandal than ever. Her sisters would be well and truly ruined. It was all very well marrying a blue stocking, but marrying a blue stocking whose sister writes tales to make the ton look awful would be a stretch. If any of them were ever to have a chance on the marriage mart, she had to ensure Nicholas never looked at those letters.
I need to speak to Flora, and if she has sent them, I need to get them back.
Amelia eased past her sisters. She had to find that new maid.
He might be flattered, suggested Emma.
He loves Lavinia. That will not change.
Chapter 3. The door to his office creaked open. The butler, Mr. Morris, did a terrible job of trying to sneak across the creaky oak floorboards. Nicholas put down his pen and looked Morris's way. The butler froze, as though he were a little boy caught in the pantry by cook, which Nicholas had been many, many times, so he recognised that expression.
"Oh, forgive me, my lord. I did not mean to intrude. I know you have plenty of work to do."
Morris was almost the same age as what his father would have been, had he not passed away 2 years prior, but he was a portly man. It meant sneaking was near impossible. His belly threatened to pop the buttons on his waistcoat, and he was forever dabbing at his forehead with a handkerchief. Some days Nicholas wanted to insist he retire and relax, but the man had worked in Uxbridge Manor for most of his life, and refused to even consider such a thing.
"What would I do with myself if I retired?" Morris always asked.
Nicholas could think of many things he'd rather be doing than working, but it seemed Morris didn't feel the same.
"It's fine," Nicholas motioned to the tray. "Put it on the table over there."
He indicated the side table near the fireplace. His eyes were beginning to hurt, and his back ached from having been in the office most of the day, answering letters and checking the estate accounts. A cup of tea and something to eat would be a welcome break. He glanced out of the tall window. At least the weather wasn't nice. There was nothing worse than being stuck inside while the sun was shining. Morris placed down the tray and picked up the stack of letters on the side of the tray. He brought them over to the desk and put them on the side. Nicholas scowled. More letters. The last thing he needed. Being a titled lord wasn't all fun. Nicholas unbound the string, tying them all together, and spread them out while Morris poured the tea. There was a set with the same writing. One, four, altogether by the looks of it. There was something familiar about the writing, but he could not think what.
"Have a break, my lord. You work too hard."
Opting to ignore the letters, he shook his head and smiled.
"There are many who would say otherwise. There are many who do not know you well enough."
Somehow, he had gained himself a reputation for being, well, in pursuit of pleasure, and not necessarily the usual pleasures. The truth was, his love of fast horses and anything adventurous had tainted him since inheriting his title. Not that he cared. His tenants were content, and the estate was prosperous under his hand. Even if the Ton did not think he was able to balance his duties, he had full confidence he could manage quite well. He stood and winced as a muscle in his back pulled.
"One was not designed to sit in a chair all day, Morris," he said, when the butler gave him a curious look. "No, according to you, one was designed to sit on a horse all day, my lord. Now that would be a pleasure indeed, much better than letters and accounts."
He took the cup of tea and remained standing. The idea of sitting down once more made his body ache all over again. It was true, though, he had always been active, ever since he could run, really. Once he'd discovered horse riding, there was no stopping him. There was nothing better than the thrill of galloping across the land faster than anyone else. He was, he concluded, not the sort of man to sit around and drink whiskey in boodles or spend hours at the poker table. He could gain far more of a thrill from the outdoors.
"You do not need to remain, Morris. I'm quite capable of drinking tea alone."
He gave the butler a look as the man lingered in the office, making a show of tidying things here and there.
I just wanted to ensure you took a break. You're not my nursemaid. Besides, Frederick is popping over shortly to spar with me.
A shudder ran through the butler's large body.
Why you must insist on using real blades, I do not know. One day you shall have your arm chopped off, and then where shall we all be? Morris, you're not my mother. Anyway, I'd expect you to understand better. If one cannot have a little excitement in one's life, then what is the point? Morris's expression turned stiff. To work hard, of course. You're beginning to sound like those ladies at Almack's, who think me wholly irresponsible. I do not sound like a lady, my lord, he protested, his cheeks turning red.
Nicholas grinned. Morris was far too easy to toy with.
Besides, you know how to have fun, do you not, Morris? I know you've bested many of the servants at whist recently. Made a pretty penny, too.
He released a frustrated puff of air. Well, yes, but
you like to gamble. I like to fence. It's as simple as that.
My lord could fence with blunted swords, though. There's nothing dangerous about a game of whist.
I'm sure your pocketbook disagrees.
A glint entered Morris's eyes.
My pocketbook always agrees with me winning whist.
Morris's good luck and skill with cards was well known by the staff at Uxbridge. Why they continued trying to best him, he did not know.
Well, I have never lost a sparring match, and I do not intend for that to change.
One does not need to lose to be injured, Morris told him primly. You have no heirs as yet, my lord. It is...
Nicholas lifted a hand.
I'm well aware I have no heirs, Morris. I endeavour to work on that in the near future.
If I were you, my lord, I'd work on it right now.
Are you giving me romantic advice?
Nicholas peered at the butler, whose cheeks reddened. Morris had known him for so long that they had few secrets, so it was not unusual for him to nag, but it was rare they talked about his romantic life. Not that he really had one. Not since Lavinia. Lavinia, who was likely listening to bagpipes and eating sheep's stomachs as they spoke. Well, good luck to her. What Englishwoman in their right mind would marry a Scotsman over an English lord? He grunted to himself.
Sorry, my lord, Morris asked.
Never mind.
No wife would tolerate you fighting with real blades, you know.
Then she would be no wife of mine.
Nicholas finished his tea, snatched up a cake, and sat in front of his desk. Perhaps if he pretended to work, Morris would let this conversation be. He didn't much like being reminded of Lavinia and his failure to woo her. A failure that had been talked about for far too long by many members of society. He was sick of it.
You are determined to frighten every eligible woman away, are you not, my lord?
Morris pressed. Nicholas motioned a hand around the room.
I see no eligible women for me to frighten away here.
Morris's lips twitched.
You know very well what I mean. Since Miss Chadwick, I mean Mrs. Campbell, married, you've been getting more and more reckless. It will not prove to her that she missed out if you get your arm chopped off.
I've no intention of proving anything. I've practically forgotten the woman.
Morris gave him a knowing look. Damn the man. Could he not put the whole mess aside and move on?
I have, he insisted, and turned back to his desk. Tea was lovely, thank you, Morris. Now I'd better delve into those letters.
A bell rang through the house as he reached for the stack.
Oh, that would be Mr. Selby, my lord, heir to fence.
Excellent. And do not fear, there shall be no severing of limbs, I promise.
Morris gave a heavy sigh and left the room to answer the door. Nicholas peered at the cake in his hand and put it aside. His appetite had gone, all because of Lavinia. She was still causing him frustration, even though she was hundreds of miles away in cold old Scotland. Perhaps he had been keeping women at bay. He'd avoided attending too many events in London recently. The gossip surrounding him did not help, but neither did having everyone's daughter shoved into his face as a possible bride. None could compare to the beautiful, sweet Lavinia, he had concluded. Morris was right, however. He needed an heir at some point. Unlike many, he had no male cousins or uncles to pass things on to. He had hoped Lavinia was going to be the one to give him sons, but as soon as that blasted Scotsman arrived in Hampshire, Nicholas had no chance. What was it about Scotsmen and their rough accents and eating of sheep's stomachs that so appealed to women anyway? He rose to go and greet Frederick. Nothing like a bit of sparring to make him forget Lavinia.
Chapter 4
"If he does not come soon, we shall get rained upon." Amelia glanced fearfully at the darkening skies.
"He shall come," insisted Catherine, swinging her legs from her perch upon the gate.
Amelia plucked a lone flower and rested against a post. She picked away the petals much as she did as a child.
"Blast," she muttered.
"Loves me not?" Catherine asked.
Amelia lifted her gaze to her sister's.
"I was not even doing that."
"Liar."
"I was not."
"You can deny it all you want, but you were as in love with Nicholas as you ever were. Those letters prove it."
Those letters. Those blasted letters. Why had she let her sisters persuade her to do such a thing? Why had she written them as though they were real? And why had she even left them out for anyone to read or take? Or bloody post?
"Those letters prove nothing. I write fiction, remember?"
"You're a good writer, Amelia, but you're even better when you're not making things up. Every word you've ever penned about Nicholas has been real." Amelia lifted her chin and eyed her youngest sister. She ought to give her a scolding for being so brash.
"Once I loved him, that is true. But there is only so long one can pine for a man who will never love her. I'm well and truly over Nicholas, I swear."
Catherine snorted.
"We shall see."
"We shall," she said determinedly, "if he ever arrives."
"He will. He still rides this way to the farm every day, I'm told. Prudence Collins saw him only a week ago, riding as though the devil were chasing him."
Amelia sighed. That sounded like Nicholas. He always rode as though it were his last ride, and he must enjoy every second of it. She rather envied him that freedom. There was no chance of riding like that when one must ride side-saddle.
"You never know. Maybe he'll read your letters and fall desperately in love with A. Hardwick.
Or he shall figure out exactly who A. Hardwick is, and I shall be exposed,
along with the rest of her sisters. But Amelia would not mention that. It had not seemed to occur to them that her job put them all in danger of being cast entirely out of society. It was bad enough that most thought them too radical and outrageous as it was. She snorted to herself. What a world they lived in, when a thinking woman was considered outrageous. Catherine could admittedly be a little brazen with her tongue, but all her sisters were wonderful women, who deserved a happy ending. If she could never have hers, they at least merited a chance. Who would marry the sister of such a shocking novelist, though? No one. She was certain of that much.
"Nicholas might keep it quiet, you know, if he has read the letters," her sister suggested.
"It's not a risk I am willing to take, and let us hope he is not. After all, he has only been in possession of them for but a morning. They might not have even been handed to him yet."
"In which case we shall retrieve them and all will be well."
Amelia could not share in her sister's positive outlook. How they were to even get the letters back she did not know, but Catherine and her sisters had been determined that she should at least try to recover them. She plucked another flower and picked away the petals. She discarded it when she realized where it would land.
"Loves me not."
Well, she didn't need a flower to remind her of that. And it didn't matter anyway. She was over Nicholas, and had been for a long time. She glanced up and down the empty road, then up at the steely sky.
"He's not coming."
"Patience, Amelia."
Amelia blinked at Catherine's tone. Usually, it was her saying such things to her sister, not the other way around. As the oldest, it had been her duty to keep all the girls in line. Catherine, in particular, had always needed a little extra nudging in the right direction.
"Perhaps we should call at Uxbridge instead."
Catherine shook her head.
"We all agreed it would look suspicious and rude."
"Since when do you care about being rude?"
"When my sister's heart is on the line, of course."
Catherine grinned.
"My heart is not on the line," she said through gritted teeth.
"Very well, your pride, then."
Amelia drew in a breath, feeling her stays tighten around her ribs. "Yes, my pride is certainly on the line." Oh, how she hated herself for writing such drivel! What had she been thinking? Catherine pushed a red curl out of her eye as the breeze picked up. "If we had turned up unannounced without Mother at our side, it would have been odd indeed. We've not seen him in over 6 months." Amelia was well aware of that. 6 months and 12 days, to be precise. "If he has read the letters, our appearance at the house might make him suspicious," Catherine continued. "And our appearance here will not." Catherine gave her a look. "What choice do we have, Amelia? By the sounds of it, you would rather go home and let him read those letters, and figure out who you are and your feelings for him." "Feelings I no longer have." Amelia wrapped her arms about herself as the chill began to bite through her pelisse. She put a hand over Catherine's. "I do appreciate you helping me, even if it is a fool's errand." She couldn't think what chance they had of really getting the letters back, but they had to try. If she did not, she would regret it. "Oh!" Catherine straightened. "I think that's him." Amelia's heart nearly leapt out of her throat. She narrowed her gaze at the rider, and her mouth dried. "Nicholas." She breathed the word, and hoped her sister had not heard it. Moving far too quickly, Nicholas rode his horse as though he were born to do so. It was not the first time she'd witnessed his skill with a horse, but it still had her feeling the urge to pull out her handkerchief and dab at her forehead. "He always was reckless." Catherine remained perched on the fence. "Quick, pretend we're talking." Reluctantly, she tore her gaze from him. "I've no idea what to talk about," she whispered. "What if he does not stop?" "He will. He's not that rude." Catherine smiled swiftly. "And I must say it was the prettiest bonnet I'd ever seen. Do you not think, Amelia?" Amelia frowned. "What bonnet?" Catherine jerked her head to behind Amelia. "Oh, yes, it was a beautiful... Nicholas!" Amelia heard the hoofbeat slow to a stop, and she forced herself to turn to face him, a smile plastered in place. The dryness in her throat made it hard to swallow. 6 months, and he had only grown more handsome. He was dressed casually, with his shirt slightly open and no cravat. It was likely he did not expect to run into anyone. His dark hair was mussed by the breeze. Hessians clung to his strong legs. Her own legs felt as weak as twigs in a storm. She had to lean back against the fence for support. "Amelia, Kitty, what are you doing all the way out here?" Catherine hopped off the fence and gave a dip, a big grin on her face. "You know I hate Kitty, my lord." A smile worked across his lips. "And I'd far rather you call me Nicholas, as you well know." Catherine's eyes glinted with mischief. "We were just taking a stroll. It has been so long since we've walked this way, and we fancied a change of scenery, did we not, Amelia?" Amelia darted a look at her sister, and Catherine gave her a nudge with an elbow. Yes, indeed." "We were just walking," Catherine continued, "but I felt a little faint." She glanced at the skies. "From the heat." He lifted a brow.
"From the heat?"
Amelia grimaced. He had to see straight through their lies, surely.
"Well, we cannot have that," he said jovially. "Will you not accompany me to Uxbridge? We can find you refreshments and have you feeling back to normal."
Catherine beamed. Amelia tried not to twist her fingers together. Nicholas dismounted.
"You'd better ride, Kitty. I have no side saddle, but it is not far, so I think you can manage."
"You are too kind." Nicholas helped her onto the horse, and she clung awkwardly to it while she positioned herself sideways. Nicholas took the reins to lead the horse. He gave Amelia a look.
"Are you well, Amelia?"
She met his gaze, just. The heat in her face and neck was growing worse. If anyone looked sick, it was probably her. "Yes, very well."
"And your sisters?"
he pressed, as he guided the horse along the empty road. "All well, too. Emma has taken up singing."
"Indeed?"
"It is terrible," exclaimed Catherine. "Catherine!" Amelia scolded. "And Lavinia is having a wonderful time all the way in Scotland," Catherine added. Amelia could not help but watch Nicholas closely. Why she wished to torture herself so, she did not know, but it was somewhat satisfying when he merely lifted one brow. She saw no heartbreak there, but she should not fool herself. Nicholas had been desperately in love with her sister, and even if he was over Lavinia, he would hardly turn his attention to her sister now, would he? Not that she wanted him to, of course. No, she had put aside her feelings for him long ago, as soon as it had become apparent to everyone that Lavinia was the lucky woman to have secured his attentions.
Enjoying all those bagpipes and mountains, no doubt.
Everyone was disappointed when Neil returned to Scotland after the wedding, Catherine declared too loudly. We were hoping he would bring some of his cousins down to see us, were we not, Amelia?
Everyone loves a Scotsman, it seems, he said tightly.
They are such fun, Catherine agreed, oblivious to his tone. Despite herself, she could not help but feel for Nicholas. Once he had started showing interest in Lavinia, everyone, including Nicholas, assumed they would marry. It could not have been easy to watch her wed someone else. As for her, well, she was used to watching Nicholas pay attention to others. It might have been no fun witnessing him woo her sister, but she had no expectations from him. They had been friends, and always would be, but never anything more. After all, she was too bookish, too serious, too, well, red, all freckles and curly red hair. She never really expected attention from Nicholas. Oh, but of course she didn't want it now. Not now she was over him. Thank goodness for that. I believe they shall come to visit next year, but it is quite a journey, Amelia put in. I cannot imagine he will really bring his cousins. What a waste, Catherine sighed.
I should imagine all the Scotsmen would enjoy seeing all you flame-haired Chadwick girls. It would remind them of home.
Nicholas gave a smile that did not quite reach his eyes. She had seen that smile at the wedding, and when Neil had been courting Lavinia. It was a smile of heartbreak. Catherine shook her head. They're probably sick of red-headed girls. That's why Neil chose Lavinia. Amelia was sorely tempted to push her sister off her perch. Could she not see that Nicholas did not want to discuss Lavinia? Sometimes Catherine could be far too thick-skulled. "We've not seen you in a while, Nicholas." Amelia attempted a sunny smile. "Have you been keeping busy?"
"I was down in London for the season, but the estate cannot be neglected for long. I did not see you at all, Amelia. It would have been nice to see a friendly face."
"Papa was busy, and Mama was suffering with headaches all spring. Neither could spare the energy or the time." Or the coin, most likely. They were well off enough, but having paid for one daughter's dowry was quite enough expense for some time, let alone sending all four of them to London. Apparently, their parents had decided there was little chance of them bringing home a husband, so it was not worth it. She tried not to sigh. Mama loved them all, but she was forever lamenting that they took after their father. She made it quite clear freckles and books and digging in dirt and hideous singing would never gain them a husband. Honestly, though, she would rather spend her time making stories up than marrying someone who thought her beneath him, purely because she was not fair-haired and buxom. She hadn't missed the season, and she did not believe her sisters had. Of course, if those letters were discovered, none of them would experience the season again. The scandal would be too much, and they'd be forced to hide away and rely on Lavinia and Neil's charity forever. No, if she could not find a husband for herself, she would at least find one for her sisters. Chapter 5. Nicholas swung his gaze between Amelia and Catherine. Catherine did not look at all sick or overheated. Amelia, however, a constant rosiness hung in her cheeks. It was not the sort of delicate stain that one might expect from a lady when complimenting her, but a dark, splotchy one that ran from her forehead down her neck and splayed across her chest. Of course, he should not be looking there, but in a simple, white-striped muslin gown, Amelia struck an elegant figure, and it drew his attention more than once. He had always thought as much, but she'd likely turn even redder should he say so. Out of all the Chadwick girls, Amelia blushed the most easily.
Why she should be blushing in his company now, however, he was not sure, unless she was the one sickening and would not admit as much. Amelia had led the sisters in many ways over the years, and he was certain she put her own welfare last every time. Perhaps it was this talk of Lavinia doing it. He'd almost rather everyone was like Catherine, though. She spoke as if he had never even considered courting her, let alone fallen in love with her. But those days were long gone, and he'd do well to stop thinking of her and that bloody Scotsman.
"Of course we're all hoping we can have a season next year," Catherine said brightly, dragging his attention from Amelia and her blush, and Lavinia and her husband. "That way we can ensure Amelia finds a husband. It's about time, really."
"Catherine," Amelia hissed, "I am in no need of a husband."
"You intend to stay unmarried?" Nicholas asked.
For some reason, the idea of her staying alone made his chest tighten. All of the Chadwick girls were wonderful women, unique to be certain, but they had always been kind and welcoming to him, and quite the support when he inherited his title. None had ever treated him as merely a title either. It was rare he could be in the company of women and not have to worry about putting them off somehow. Amelia shrugged.
"I have my family to keep me occupied. And reading, of course."
"Of course." He smiled. There was a time when she had visited his house as a young girl, and she'd gone missing. They had found her in the library, asleep amongst a great pile of books. "I've added to the library these past years, a few rare books from foreign lands, as well as some fine English literature."
"You shall have to show me if you get the chance."
"Oh, yes, do show her," Catherine said. "If you do not, she shall be unbearable until she's seen them."
"That is an exaggeration, Catherine," Amelia scolded.
"Hardly. I'm not sure you shall be happy until you have read every book in the world. Every time we go into town, if we do not buy a book, she's miserable for the entire day. She feels that there is some sort of missed opportunity if she does not buy one," Catherine explained.
"I'm glad to see you've not changed these past months, Amelia," Nicholas said. "I cannot remember a time when your nose was not in a book, or you were not penning some tale as a child."
"Well, it has been a long time since I've written."
That colour was there again, flaring up in her cheeks. He eyed her closely, and she darted her gaze away from him.
"That's a shame."
He pushed open the gate that led onto Uxbridge land, and motioned for Amelia to go first, before guiding the horse through.
"You were quite the teller of tales, if I recall."
"She," Catherine started, "has little time for that now," Amelia cut in sharply. "As you know, this rabble takes some looking after."
She pointed a thumb in her sister's direction. "And Catherine is the hardest to look after." Nicholas laughed when Catherine stuck out her tongue at Amelia, while Amelia narrowed her gaze at Catherine. He had no siblings, so the Chadwick girls were the closest thing he had to sisters. He'd always enjoyed how they interacted with each other. He'd never known women to argue quite so much, and yet it was clear they adored one another entirely. They made their way across the worn, muddy path that cut through the land. His estate covered a near 20 acres, and much of it was covered with trees and open patches of long grass for the sheep to graze on. The river way cut across the land, winding its way past the house, cutting it off from where they were walking. An elegant stone bridge had been built over 50 years ago to replace the wooden one that granted them access to the house. Nicholas guided the horse toward the bridge, and found himself stealing looks at Amelia. She avoided his gaze still, but the colour had slowly subsided. Once it had, her freckles stood out in stark contrast to her pale skin. He had the oddest urge to draw her close and... He scowled. No, that couldn't be right. Amelia Chadwick was nothing more than a sister figure to him. A screech broke his thoughts, and the reins in his hand tore away, leaving a burning sensation on his palm. Catherine screeched again, as the horse reared and bucked. The noise disconcerted the animal, and he bolted before Nicholas could make a grab for the reins.
"Oh, no!"
Amelia cried, as the horse, with Catherine clinging desperately to the saddle, raced off toward the river. Nicholas sprinted after her, aware of Amelia running behind him.
"Help!"
Catherine cried, when the horse showed no sign of slowing, despite her insistent tugs.
He ran as fast as he could, but the damned horse was too fast. He could only watch helplessly as the horse plunged into the river, taking Catherine with her. Lungs burning and thighs aching, he barely took a breath before pulling off his boots and plunging into the water. It pricked his skin and stole the breath from his lungs. Weeds tangled about his legs, and the fast-flowing water pushed against his body. He surfaced, and a wave of water pushed over his head. He caught a glimpse of the horse pulling herself out of the water. Bloody animal. Another slosh of water threatened to push him under as he fought the swell and looked around for Catherine. Before he could set eyes on her, another body plunged into the water. Amelia. She surfaced and spluttered. "Sweet Mary, it's cold!" She let herself be pushed toward him, bobbing under once or twice. Nicholas gritted his teeth and made a grab for her. There was no chance Amelia or her sister were drowning on his land. She gripped his arm and made an attempt at tugging him to the river edge. "Catherine!" He spat out a mouthful of water. "She's fine!" Amelia gave another insistent tug, while they both pushed against the water. He banded his arm about her body, and the extra weight of her pushed them backward. He kicked out, and using one arm coaxed them toward the river's edge. He felt Amelia's skinny legs kicking with all their might, and she fought the water with both arms. They were forced back, but with each stroke they neared the river bank. Once the grass was in reach, Nicholas gave an almighty kick and grasped for the long reeds lining the edge. He grabbed a bunch and felt them ripping away from the soil under the force of the water. "Take my hand!" Catherine held out her hand to Amelia. He blinked up at her. Though soaked from head to toe, she was alive and well, and certainly not in danger of being swept away. Unlike them. "Take it," he ordered Amelia. Amelia kicked forward and gave a grunt as she reached for her sister. The release of the extra weight allowed him to get a better grip on the reeds, and with Catherine's help, they hauled themselves up onto the side. Amelia flopped down beside him, and they lay there for a moment, gathering their breath. "Lord, you could have both died!" Catherine plopped herself down next to them, her clothes making a great squelching sound as she did. Once his energy had returned, he rolled over and pushed up to sitting. "How the devil did you make it out?" "The horse decided I only needed a dip. She dragged me halfway out before I got free from her." "Bloody horse." He shouldn't curse in front of the women, but if there was ever a time for cursing, it was now. "Amelia jumped in to save you," Catherine said with a grin. Nicholas turned his attention to Amelia, who had suffered the most from this ordeal by the looks of it. Her lips were blue and her body shook. Her hair had fallen free from however it had been styled, and her bonnet was long gone. Her tresses were dark and tangled around her shoulders. The muslin dress clung to her fragile body, revealing every dip and arc, from high petite breasts to delicately curving hips. He helped her up and gripped her arms. "What were you thinking?"
I saw Catherine climb out, but you were still in the water. I could not let you drown."
"Foolish girl," he scolded lightly. "Far better I drown than you." She shook her head.
"You're the Viscount."
Her shaking body pulled at his heart, and he drew her into him and rubbed his hands up and down her body. His heart hammered, but he could not help himself. The warmth of exhilaration burned through his body. They had nearly all died, and yet here they were, alive, if a little cold. He drew back and met her gaze. That's when he saw it, the same spark. Amelia was not shaking from anything but cold. She had no fear in her. That same exhilaration fired through her veins. He could see it flash in those green eyes. It struck him hard in that moment. "You feel the same as I do. You're like me." A crease appeared between her brow, then her lips parted. Did she recognize the same thing in him? Christ, how could he have been so blind to her? It was as though a shield wall had fallen away.
"How did I not know?" he murmured.
She must have heard the words, but she had no response for him. He did not even know if he understood what he meant by them. He wasn't sure he did. Only that he was seeing Amelia in a different light, one that made him question everything. Catherine came to their side, apparently oblivious to whatever was occurring. "Come, we had better get dry before we all sicken." Amelia merely stared at Nicholas. "Amelia," Catherine snapped, "if this cold does not kill us, you know Mama will for staying wet for so long. We need to move." Amelia snapped her head around and nodded. "Oh, yes, of course." The spell broken, Nicholas released her arms.
"Catherine's right. We need to get you both dry as soon as possible."
He offered Amelia his arm, telling himself that she needed the support, as she was weakened by their battle with the water. Amelia took it and glanced up at him. He was certain in that moment she understood his reasoning. Surely she was feeling what he was feeling now. Chapter 6. Amelia grimaced at her reflection. Her lips were still tinged blue, but it was her hair that was the real disaster. River water was not kind to her thick hair, and it hung like rat's tails about her face, even after a good rub with a towel. Most of her pins had been lost after her dip in the water, but she attempted to pin some of it up with the remaining two she had discovered amongst her hair. Her fingers shook while she attempted to push them in. Not from cold, though. She shook her head at herself. Excitement. She couldn't believe it. It still coursed through her, faster than the river. As soon as they had dragged themselves to safety, she had felt it, hot and exhilarating. The sensation flowed through her body and made her want to do something else reckless. And when she had looked at Nicholas, she had seen the same thing in him. It was a wild, giddy sort of feeling that she'd never experienced before, unless it was through one of her characters in her books. Now she understood why he always rode so fast, or insisted on fencing with real swords, or liked to tease the bull at Mr. Branston's farm when they were children. He was trying to regain that feeling. She could not deny she wanted to as well. Amelia smoothed down the borrowed dress. It was far simpler than even her basic dresses, as she and Catherine were too petite for one of Dowager Viscountess's dresses, so they had been lent some from the serving girls. Her own dress had been swiftly removed by the housekeeper, to be washed and hung. It was not exactly how she had hoped to look when she saw Nicholas again, rat's tails for hair and an unflattering gown. But she was here for a purpose, and that was not to make Nicholas see her in a different light, not that he ever would. She was here for her letters, and whether one could conclude the lake incident was bad luck or not, it had bought them plenty of time here while they dried off and warmed up. Giving up on the pins, she put on the slippers provided and opened the door out into the hallway. Uxbridge was not the largest house in Hampshire, but it was designed to fit the latest fashions. Paintings of various country settings hung on the walls, occasionally punctuated by sketches of the architecture of the building.
"Are you well?"
Amelia whirled at the sound of a baritone that never failed to get her heart pumping. She swallowed hard. The damp shirt and soaked breeches were gone, replaced with a clean shirt, waistcoat, dark breeches, and a cravat. His hair still had a tousled look to it, but was certainly drier than hers.
I am, thank you.
Not too cold after our dip?
There was a twinkle in his eyes that made her warmer than she thought possible.
No, I'm quite warm. You must thank your maid for the dress. I shall have it sent back as soon as we're home.
I hope you do not intend to rush away. You and Catherine have been through quite an ordeal.
Dear Lord, she was drowning again, drowning in his dark eyes, and the way his lips moved when he spoke. She was over him, was she not? She had put any love for him firmly inside her books, and that was where it would remain. And yet, a sigh escaped her.
You felt it, did you not?
Amelia blinked at him. It?
Yes.
He took a step forward, sucking the air from the corridor and making her feel a little faint.
It. That feeling. That sensation. You felt it when we escaped the river.
I...
She did, but she had no idea how to express it. His smile changed. A darkness entered his eyes. He leaned farther in.
You and I are more alike than I realized. But then, perhaps I should have realized.
He shook his head.
I should have...
Oh, my! Nicholas took a hasty step back when her sister emerged from the room next to hers. Catherine also wore a plain gown that didn't quite fit her around the waist and hung loose.
You look almost as bad as I do, Catherine declared, though your gown fits better.
She poked Amelia's ribs. Amelia tapped her sister's hand away.
Catherine, think yourself lucky we could borrow them, or else we would be going home in soaked gowns, and what would Mother say?
She'd have a fit, and I would laugh, Catherine said petulantly.
She would have me marked as a man of terrible manners indeed, if she knew I nearly let you drown on my land, Nicholas said, voice dry.
I did not nearly drown. You two, on the other hand.
Catherine motioned to them both. Nicholas looked to Amelia, and something shot between them, or at least she thought it did. It was that same look that they had shared by the water, as though they were one and the same, breathing and living through the same experience. She looked away. More likely it was her overactive imagination hoping for these things. As much as she tried, it seemed her feelings for Nicholas only needed a little nudge, and they bubbled to the surface.
"Shall we go downstairs for some tea? I should imagine you would like a warm drink and to sit by the fire."
Catherine clapped her hands together.
"Oh, yes, as long as there is cake."
"There's always cake, Kitty."
Nicholas led them downstairs to the parlour room. Above them, angels and cherubs and gods were painted, while gold cornicing surrounded the ceilings. The windows spanned from almost the floor to the ceiling and were draped with pale green curtains. The room had not changed much since she had last visited, though the portrait above the fire had. Where once the old Viscount's portrait had been, was now a new one. Amelia could not help but pause and admire it. The artist had captured Nicholas's likeness perfectly, from the curl of his dark hair to the slight smile that always lingered on his lips.
"There's something strange about having one's face bearing down upon one all the time," he commented. "But it is tradition. I put off having it commissioned for too long, and my mother would not let it be, so I thought it was about time to get it done."
"The artist did a wonderful job. Though I understand your position, I think I would find it odd to see myself hanging on the wall every day."
Amelia moved to sit by her sister, who had thrown herself unceremoniously onto a seat.
"Your father should commission one."
He stood and waited until the footmen had served their tea and cakes on a table between all the chairs.
"All you beautiful red-headed girls together would make a wonderful painting."
Catherine laughed.
"You don't need to charm us, Nicholas. No one wants to see our red heads all over the wall."
He sat opposite them both.
"Not at all."
His gaze locked onto Amelia, and her heart stuttered in her chest.
"I should like to see more red heads in portraits."
The slight smile on his lips made her mouth dry. What did he mean by that? Why was he looking at her so intently? Amelia reached for a cup of tea for want of anything else to do. Catherine straightened.
"Why do you not take Amelia to see your new books after we finished our tea?"
She gave Amelia the tiniest nudge, which nearly spilled her tea. Amelia clasped her cup tightly. They had discussed how they would search out the letters, but had come to few conclusions. If Catherine was able to explore unchecked, she might be able to find them after all.
"If you would like to, I would be delighted."
He took a sip of tea.
"Would you like to see them too, Kitty?"
She shook her head emphatically.
"Books are Amelia's thing. If you do not mind, I shall take a tour of the house. It has been a while since I was here."
Amelia winced. Was her sister being too obvious? However, Nicholas did not seem bothered by the request, and once they had finished their tea, he took Amelia alone to the library. Catherine gave her a quick wink before darting off. She only hoped her sister did not get herself into trouble. She had set foot in the library at Uxbridge a few times, but it never failed to excite her. The scent of books and all the darkened spines surrounding her sent a thrill through her body. It was unlikely any of her titles would end up in a library like this, but she did not mind. She enjoyed writing what she did, and others loved reading her books, or else she would not sell. It might never be considered great literature, but it pleased her to bring pleasure to others.
"Here's my new editions."
Nicholas motioned to a selection scattered on the side table.
"I've yet to organise them.
He went to pick one up, as Amelia leaned forward to take the very same one. Their hands touched, and she jerked away from his touch, feeling as though she had put her hand directly into the fire. Yet this was a pleasantly warm sensation.
"Forgive me."
She meant to take a step back, but somehow ended up stumbling forward. His touch made her woozy. Nicholas put his hands to her arms. His fingers singed through the fabric, and surely left marks. She risked a glance up at him, and found his gaze lingering on her face, her lips. He looked deep into her eyes, and a crease appeared between his brows.
"How is it I never saw you before?"
The words came out slightly ragged. Lips parted, Amelia sucked in a shallow breath. It was all she could manage. How many times had she dreamed of him looking at her like this? But what did he mean about never having seen her before?
How could I have missed this?
She heard the words, but could not process them. She had no time to. As he uttered the last syllable, he drew her hard into him. The air flew from her lungs. Then his lips were on hers, hard and hot. She froze for a mere moment, her eyes wide open. He moved his mouth over hers, and she had no choice but to close her eyes and savour every moment. Amelia followed his lead, tilting her head and parting her lips just a fraction. Somewhere in the back of her mind was another Amelia, questioning if this could really be happening. The Amelia who was presently kissing Nicholas, however, did not care for reasons or whys. She gave herself up entirely to it, her body boneless and bending to his will. He held her tighter, and his solid chest crushed against hers. She was aware of his thigh brushing hers, and of his fingers digging into her arms. He smelled of leather and a little cologne. His tongue brushed between her parted lips, and she met it with her own, tasting the sweetness of tea on his tongue. A tremor ran down her spine and spread through her body, making every part of her warm and achy in the most delicious way. Nicholas teased the corner of her mouth with his tongue, then swept into her mouth once more. A slight groan escaped Nicholas, and the sound made her want to swoon.
"Oh, my goodness!"
Nicholas reacted quicker to the interruption than she did. He let go of her and tore away. Amelia blinked, feeling like a newborn lamb stumbling about on new legs. She finally comprehended the interruption when she noted her sister in the library doorway. Heat rushed into her face. Catherine gave her a little wink, then turned her attention to Nicholas.
"I did not mean to interrupt. I was actually a little lost. It's been so long since I explored Uxbridge."
Nicholas cleared his throat.
"Of course. It's a fine job you found us, then."
Caroline motioned over her shoulder.
"If you and Amelia have more books to look at, I can continue my explorations. No doubt there are more rooms for me to get lost in."
"No," Amelia said sharply.
"No, we really must be going. We've imposed on you long enough, Nicholas."
Amelia snatched Catherine's arm and began dragging her out of the library.
"It's no imposition," Nicholas said. "No imposition at all, I assure you."
There was something slightly dark and curious in his eyes, as though he wanted to drag her back into the library and start kissing her all over again. But surely not. He loved Lavinia, not her.
"We must be going."
"But..." Catherine tried to tug away, but Amelia kept a firm grip on her.
"Thank you for your help,"
Amelia said brightly, and practically dragged her sister out of the library. Nicholas did not follow or try to make her change her mind, much to her relief. She could picture him standing in the library, watching them go, his cravat slightly askew, and his hands tucked behind his back, watching her with curiosity, as though he had never seen her before. That was what he had said, was it not? That he had never seen her before. Whatever that meant. Amelia marched her sister out of the house, and it was not until they were away down the road leading from the house that Catherine tore away from her.
"Amelia, you must tell me everything," she demanded.
Head high, Amelia shook her head and continued walking.
"There's nothing to tell."
"Nothing to tell? Goodness, if it had not been me who had caught you, you would have been ruined and engaged by now. That's hardly nothing." Amelia paused and turned to face her sister.
"You will not tell anyone." She said it as a hopeful command.
"Of course not, unless, that is, you want to be ruined and engaged."
She waggled her eyebrows.
"Nicholas loves Lavinia. I would not wish to be married to a man who loved someone else, particularly my own sister."
Catherine sighed.
"Oh, must you always be so straight-laced and sensible? He practically swept you off your feet. I saw it, remember?"
Her eyes sparkled.
"He kissed you as though you were the only woman in the world. I'm certain he was not thinking of Lavinia."
Amelia shook her head rapidly, mostly to rid herself of these thoughts that were crowding her mind. Nicholas had kissed her passionately. Somehow they had gone from polite conversation to sensual kissing. And what a kiss it was! Certainly better than kissing Tommy Bridges in the stables, after her sisters dared her to. No, Nicholas had kissed like a man who wanted a woman with great desperation. It was the sort of kiss that she wrote about, dreamed about, but had never experienced. Truth be told, she had not been sure they truly existed. Oh, dear, her legs trembled as she recalled it.
"Stop being the sensible one for a change," Catherine nagged. "Go back and kiss him again."
Amelia continued to follow the road from the house.
"I cannot and I will not. He loves Lavinia. If a man kissed me like that, I would certainly not be running away."
"I'm not running."
"Very well, walking at an unnaturally quick pace."
Amelia shook her head again. Regardless of how wonderful that kiss might have been, she could not allow herself to fall into the trap of loving Nicholas again. It had taken her long enough to get over him. She could not bear to go through all the heartache of watching him with someone else once more, whilst pining away for him.
"Forget the kiss. Did you get the letters?"
Catherine grimaced.
"Not quite. I would have snatched them up had it not been for that nosy old bat of a housekeeper. You know, she was quite stern with me."
"She probably thought you were trying to steal something."
"Do I look like a thief?"
Catherine had that perpetual twinkle of naughtiness in her eyes. The youngest Chadwick girl had often been up to mischief in her younger years, and not a lot had changed since. She could see how the housekeeper might think she was up to no good. Amelia shrugged.
"Well, you were technically trying to steal something." "If it's yours in the first place, I do not think it's stealing. Anyway, I might not have managed to get the letters, but I do know where they are."
"Where?"
"On his desk in his study. And you're in luck. It looks as though he's not opened them yet."
"Oh, good. Perhaps I can still get them back."
"Perhaps you should turn around, kiss him into submission, and snatch the letters back."
"No," Amelia said sharply.
"No more talk of kissing. I mean it."
"Spoil sport. That's the most excitement I've had in days."
"Imagine how I feel," thought Amelia. That was the most excitement she'd had in years.
As the oldest sister, everyone relied on her to be sensible, to set an example. Excitement did not often go hand in hand with that.
"We need a new plan," Amelia concluded. "A way to slip in without the need for excuses."
"We could fall in the lake again." Amelia gave her sister a sharp look.
"No."
Catherine laughed.
"I was only teasing. I've no desire to go back into that cold water again."
Some small part of Amelia almost wished for it again. Of course, she did not want to fear for her sister's or Nicholas's life. As soon as she had seen her sister climb out on the other side, she had realized Nicholas was the one in trouble, and had hardly thought before jumping in after him. The experience had been scary and strangely exhilarating. They had cheated death. How wonderful it had felt to be alive afterward.
"Well, perhaps Julia can come up with something. She was always the devious one."
Amelia arched a brow at her sister.
"Julia is?"
Catherine nodded.
"Absolutely. You're the sensible one. Julia is the devious one. Emma is the annoying one. And I'm the delightful one."
Amelia could only smile and take her sister's arm.
"Yes, you are absolutely right. You're the delightful one."
Chapter 7.
"It's all well, my lord."
Nicholas shot his gaze up to find Morris standing in front of him in the drawing-room. He threw back the long-neglected brandy in his hand and scowled at the butler.
"How long have you been standing there?"
"'Well, long enough to realise that you're not in your right mind, my lord.'
"'What are you trying to imply, Morris? "'That I'm the next King George?'
"'And not addled, my lord. "'Just distracted. "'You have been all day.'
"'Sometimes, Morris, I think you forget that you are in my service.'
"'The butler barely masked a smirk.
"'Never, my lord. "'I live, eat and sleep to be in service to you.'
"'Nicholas shook his head.
"'How many other viscounts have to put up with such disrespect, I wonder? "'If I am addled, it is merely because you will not leave me be. "'Someone must look after you.'
"'Nicholas peered up at the butler. "'Since his father had passed away, "'Morris had been his guiding hand, "'the angel on his shoulder, so to speak, "'ensuring that he left behind any idea of a bachelor lifestyle "'and stuck to his duties as a viscount. "'It was hard for a man to admit "'that he had been looked after at all, "'but in a way Morris was right. "'He was also right about him being distracted. "'He'd been like this since yesterday, "'since that damned kiss. "'Except he didn't mean it like that. "'It wasn't a damned kiss in the typical manner.' It had not ruined Amelia, or forced his hand. No, the damned bit came from the fact it had thrown him. It had changed everything he knew. It was Lavinia he had loved, was it not? How could he transfer his feelings onto her sister so easily? And yet those feelings did not feel strange. The moment he'd held Amelia after they'd escaped the river, it had felt incredibly right. And now... He could not quite fathom the love for Lavinia that he had considered a part of him. True, he no longer loved her, but he had considered it would always linger, the memory of it. But when he thought back, he could no longer picture it. He could not see how he had spent hours watching the fair-haired lady whirl around the ballroom. Not when there was a bright-eyed, freckled, red-headed Amelia to watch, with her long, elegant figure and that wild look in her eyes that he must have missed so many times.
"'My lord?'
Nicholas looked up to find Morris staring at him with an odd look upon his face.
"'Yes, Green.
"'You're doing it again.'
"'Doing what?' "'You are distracted.'
Nicholas waved a hand.
"'So what if I am? "'Have you not got something useful to do?'
"'I only came in to inform you that dinner is ready. "'The dinner gong rang some half an hour ago.'
Nicholas's gaze shot to the clock. Morris was right. He'd not heard the dinner gong, nor had he realised it was half an hour past dinner time.
"'I was simply enjoying a brandy,' he lied. "'I shall come through in a moment.'
Morris dipped his head and picked up the empty brandy bottle.
"'I shall see that this is refilled, my lord.'
He arched an eyebrow pointedly. Nicholas enjoyed a brandy as much as the next man, but he did not usually indulge so much. He must have had a good three glasses this evening.
"'Thank you, Morris.'
The butler rocked on his heels and failed to move. Nicholas huffed out a breath.
"'What is it?' "'Oh, nothing, my lord.'
The butler's large neck worked against his cravat.
"'It is only... Your lady visitors yesterday seem to have, well, caused this distraction.'
"'Am I not allowed to be distracted? Does it have to be caused by women?'
"'Yes, usually it does, my lord.'
Nicholas stood.
"'Well, you need not fear. There's nothing wrong. I'm not turning into an alcoholic or a lovelorn man. Now stop fussing like an old woman and find yourself something useful to do.'
Morris's lips pressed tightly into a line of annoyance.
"'I am always useful, my lord. I merely mean to point out—'
"'Of course you are. Now, if you excuse me, I find I'm quite hungry.
Striding past the butler, Nicholas took the long way to the dining room. He didn't mean to insult the old man, but sometimes he was worse than a nanny. Morris could do with worrying about himself for a change. He was a fine one to talk about being distracted. He'd been in love with Mrs. Crawford, the widowed farmer's wife, for years. Fancy trying to lecture him about women. Ridiculous. He paused in the long gallery. He could not quite face eating in the dining room. With his mother away, and no guests at present, it was a quiet and tiresome thing to eat alone with one's servants watching over one. If Morris had detected his distraction, then no doubt had the rest of the servants. He paused at the portrait of his mother and father. It had been painted only a year before his father had passed away. Despite the formal postures, one could never deny that they were thoroughly in love.
It had been their love for one another that had inspired him to look for a relationship like that once he had inherited. Lavinia, it had seemed, would make a perfect viscountess. He didn't think he was wrong. She still would. Sweet, kind, classically beautiful, and able to hold conversation with anyone, it was as though she was designed to fill such a role. But had he really wanted easy conversation and sweet manners? Moving on from the painting, he sighed. Not any more, it seemed. How had he been so blind? How had he not realized there was so much more to Amelia than met the eye? She played a role, just as he did, when he had to perform lordly duties. She was the oldest sister, charged with keeping the other sisters in line. Quite the challenge. The Chadwick girls were all known to be too clever, too noisy, and quite terrible at being in polite society. He grinned to himself. It was what he liked about them. It was what he liked about Amelia. Underneath that sensible facade was a woman who thrived on excitement and fun. He just knew it. They were one and the same, and if he thought hard, he'd always known that. Forcing himself to stroll through the house to the dining room, he paused at the sound of footsteps. If that was Morris coming to nag him, he was going to do something childish and hide. A figure darted past the hallway door, and he frowned. It looked like a lad in scruffy clothing, but what was one of the kitchen boys doing up here? He pressed himself against the wall. The dim oil lamp set on the tables lining the hallway cast enough shadow to keep Nicholas hidden. The boy glanced this way and that, then ducked into the study. Nicholas edged along the hallway and peered around the corner.
Oh, where are they?
His frown deepened. That did not sound like a boy. In fact, the intruder did not look like a boy either. The slight curves that rounded the trousers indicated that this was, in fact, a woman. Why had a woman dressed herself up as a boy to sneak into his house? And what was she looking for in his study? If this was a mere thief, there were plenty of riches to be had in the easy-to-access rooms.
Ah!
The intruder snapped something up and turned. Nicholas pressed himself back into an alcove and waited for her to emerge. She looked this way and that, but did not see him before darting off down the hallway.
Lad!
She jolted and squeaked, glanced briefly around, and hastened off. Something dropped from her hand, but she didn't seem to notice in her haste. Nicholas did not bother giving chase. He didn't need to. It had been no thief. He'd recognized the profile and the lock of red hair instantly. Amelia Chadwick. But why had she been sneaking about his house? He bent to pick up what she'd dropped. It was one of those letters that he had neglected to read. He kept meaning to, but there had been so many, and he had yet to find the time. Nicholas pulled the string binding it shut and read the letter. Chapter 8.
It's not that bad.
Julia's voice was muffled by the sheets over Amelia's head. She'd flung off her disguise and buried herself under the covers as soon as she'd come in and had not moved all night. A corner of the sheet lifted, and Amelia winced at the bright light. Julia poked her head underneath the cover.
At least you got the letters. What if he recognized me? Oh, goodness, how am I ever going to face him again?
Amelia wailed, pressing her face onto the pillow and snatching the sheet from Julia so she could hide herself away. Initially, the whole sneaking into his house disguised as a delivery boy thing had been exciting. Slipping through the shadows and hiding from servants had brought a thrill she'd only felt, well, once, when kissing Nicholas, and once when escaping drowning. She did not know whether to curse or thank those letters. At least she could go to her grave, knowing what Nicholas's lips tasted like. But still, if he had recognized her at all, she could never face him again.
"What's going on?"
Amelia lifted the corner to see Catherine walk into the room. She rubbed her eyes and stretched, no doubt having been up half of the night watching the stars.
"Did it work?" Catherine asked.
"Yes," Julia nodded. "And she got the letters, but she thinks he might have recognized her." "Oh, Lord,"
Amelia wailed again. It was all too humiliating to think about. She buried herself back under the sheet.
her cheeks heated simply remembering it. What would he think of her?
"You made a good delivery, boy," Catherine said.
The bed dipped beside Amelia, and a hand patted her head through the sheet. She assumed it was Catherine.
"No doubt he recognised you, and now you have the letters, so all is well. Unless, of course, you're upset that you have no reason to go back."
Amelia said against the pillow. The sheet whipped off her suddenly, pulled away by Emma. Amelia rolled and glared at her, before throwing an arm across her face. Sneaking in disguise had been her sister's idea, and they'd even helped her find some clothes and tuck up her hair in a cap. Why she had listened to them she did not know. When had the three of them ever had a sensible idea between them? Emma came around the other side of the bed, and sat so that she was pinned between her and Catherine. She pressed away Amelia's hair from her face and smiled.
"Come on, Amelia, you've got your letters and all is well. Get up, and then you can hear my latest song. I wrote it myself."
The pride shining from her sister's face made her wince. Emma's singing had not improved in the last few days, and she doubted her songwriting ability was any better. Beside her, Catherine snorted. Amelia shot her a look. She might not appreciate Emma's voice, but she did not want her to be hurt. Julia stood at the end of the bed, hands to her hips.
"Emma is right."
"Not about the singing, surely?" Catherine asked. "That's not an incentive to get up." Emma scowled.
"You do not appreciate fine music."
She glanced at the mantel clock.
"Should you not be back in bed? I heard you creeping up the stairs at 3 in the morning. If you don't nap, you will be grumpy."
She paused.
"I think you already are."
"Well, I was planning to remain in bed, but you two were banging around in Amelia's room, and I could not sleep." Catherine poked out her tongue.
"That's enough."
Amelia sat and thrust out a hand in front of both of them.
"I am up, see? Now will you all leave me to my humiliation?"
Emma's expression softened.
"Oh, Amelia, you're not humiliated. You need to stop worrying so much about what everyone thinks of us. You're a talented writer, and if people want to look down their nose at you because of what you write, that is their problem."
"Exactly. Dry old sticks that they are," Catherine agreed. Amelia didn't remind them that what she did reflected on all of them. But she supposed in some ways it was too late to save them, even with the letters back in her possession. They would be forever marked as unusual and far too clever, a sin indeed in the world of the ton.
"Amelia!"
Their mother's voice echoed up the stairs.
"Heavens, what is she doing awake already?" Julia muttered.
"Amelia!" came Mama's voice again. With a sigh, Amelia swung her legs over the bed and felt the cold touch of the floorboards against her feet.
"I suppose I should go down."
Julia flung a robe her way, and Amelia stood and knotted it about her waist. She thrust a hand through her knotted hair, having not bothered to braid it when she'd returned home.
"I'd better see what she wants, or we will not have a moment's peace." "Then you can come and listen to my song," said Emma brightly.
Catherine groaned.
"I think I'm going back to bed."
Julia nodded.
"I'm going out for the morning."
Her sisters departed, and the tinkle of the piano rang through the house moments later. Amelia found her mother in the breakfast room. What had once been fair hair was now almost white, but was perfectly curled and tucked under a cap. A shawl hung about her shoulders. Despite her age and having raised 5 daughters, her mother was still an elegant woman, and everyone knew she had been quite the beauty in her time. That her beauty had not been passed on to 4 of her daughters was something she constantly lamented. Her mother's brow arched when she saw her dishevelled state.
"Have you only just risen? Please do not tell me you are turning into another Catherine."
Amelia sat opposite and poured a cup of coffee.
"Of course not, Mama. I did not sleep well, that is all." "I did not catch you before you went to bed last night."
Her mother buttered a slice of toast and took a bite.
I wanted to get an early night."
"And yet you did not sleep? Was something bothering you?" She could hardly tell her mother she went to bed early to disguise herself as a boy, then sneak out, so she simply shrugged.
Anyway, her mother motioned at her with the toast. I was visiting with Mrs. Ellsworth. You remember her daughter? An ugly little thing. Married a lieutenant, I think. Mamma frowned. Or was it a colonel? No, it could not have been. She was far too plain for a colonel. I think it was a colonel, Amelia said softly. Her mother's frown deepened. Surely not. No, it must have been a lieutenant. Amelia opted not to correct her mother. Miss Ellsworth had definitely married a colonel, even if her mother thought her plain. Anyway, do you remember that Harburg house has been empty for some time? Amelia nodded. The house sat on a good 25 acres, and had been empty since the gentleman who owned it had lost much of his fortune to gambling, and could no longer afford to look after it. No tenants could be found, so the rumour was he would have to sell it. Are there going to be new tenants? Not tenants, a new owner. Her mother's eyes glimmered with excitement. And not just any owner, a duke. Inwardly, Amelia grimaced. Mamma would not be considering the duke for any of them. She considered all her daughters too red and freckly and blue-stockingy to be marriage material for a duke. But Mamma would certainly not object to being connected to the duke. She would certainly encourage their father to make his acquaintance, in the hopes they would be invited to whatever parties and balls the man held. She smiled at the idea. This poor duke had little idea what he was getting himself in for. So why did you need to talk to me about this duke, Mamma? Amelia reached for the teapot and poured a cup of coffee. The fragrant bitterness teased her, and she inhaled the scent deeply. After last night, she felt as though she needed to follow Catherine's lead and take a nap, but her mind was still racing after what she had done. Her mother paused and cocked her head as Emma's voice pealed through the house. "I should like to go to London next spring. I thought you'd decided not to for a while." Mamma licked a spot of butter from her thumb. "Mrs. Jasper intends to go to town with her daughter. It will be Miss Jasper's first season. I think we should go and show some support." Miss Jasper was a sweet girl, but not at all ready for the marriage mart. She would need all the support she could get. Mrs. Jasper and their mother had been friends since they were young ladies, so she was not surprised Mamma wanted to see Miss Jasper's debut. "I think that would be a nice thing to do, Mamma, but I don't know if Catherine or Julia will be bothered." She took a sip of coffee and felt the warmth simmer through her veins. "But what does this have to do with the duke?" Mamma pressed her fingers to her forehead, while Emma's voice grew in volume. "We have not had many successful seasons. With Lavinia married, we have little to recommend us, particularly after what that wretched cousin Bess did. Silly girl." Her mother sighed. "You must ensure the girls are on their best behaviour, especially when this duke arrives. If we can make a good impression, we shall have an excellent connection, and it shall make our time in London run that much more smoothly." "Ah, it should be simple enough. Keep Julia from getting dirty all the time. Make sure Catherine does not say anything scandalous. And ensure Emma..." Her mother closed her eyes and opened them again. "Ensure Emma does not sing in public." As tempted as she was to declare it impossible, Amelia simply nodded. "Oh, and your little writing thing. Make sure it remains your little secret. We cannot have that getting out now, can we?"
"No, Mamma, we cannot."
Chapter 9. Nicholas could not prevent his mind from tumbling over Amelia's words again and again. Well, A. Hardwick's words. He smiled to himself and climbed over the stye that dissected his land from the farming land around the estate. If he had not noticed what he'd seen in her recently, he would never have imagined Amelia could conjure up such stories. Her witty take on the ton and society in general, along with some quite salacious titbits, made for compelling reading. It had confirmed many things for him, but there were some things still unconfirmed for him. Did she regret their kiss in the library, for example? Did she wish to see him again? Did he fill her every waking thought, and a few of her sleeping ones, too? He needed to know all this and more,
which was why he was inviting himself for tea at their house. The Chadwick girls would likely be at home at this hour, and even if he could not get her alone, he hoped she would give him some indication as to what she was feeling. The carefully tended to field gave way to grassland. The wild grasses swished against his feet. Yellow dandelions mingled amongst the green and straw-coloured stems. A forest broke up the horizon, the trees an ancient barrier between his and the land of another estate. A few lone trees rebelliously stood out on their own, standing like guards protecting an army. Nicholas paused and squinted at one of these lone soldiers. A flash of blue winked at him from between the branches. A piece of scarf, perhaps, or a lady's bonnet, he concluded. It must have blown into the tree. Bonnet or not, he could not help but go and investigate. As he neared, a grin broke across his face. This was no errant bonnet or scarf. This was a woman, a very specific woman indeed. He stopped at the base of the tree and craned his neck upward. Amelia? She was crouched, straddling two branches, and looking awkward indeed. He could not quite fathom how she had gained such height, as there were only a few branches lower down. Regardless, there was no chance she could get down with ease. She peered down at him.
"Nicholas?"
The tremble in her voice told him she was well aware of the pickle she was in.
"Whatever are you doing?"
"I found an egg."
"An egg?"
"Yes, on the floor."
Her foot slipped a little, sending his heart jarring against his chest. She squeaked and repositioned herself, gripping tight to the branches around her.
"There's a nest here. I wanted to put it back," she explained.
"Ah."
He eyed the branches and spotted the nest some three branches higher, nestled carefully amongst the leaves.
"Did you get it back in?"
"Yes, but now..."
"Now you cannot get down."
She nodded frantically.
"I made it some way down, but..."
Nicholas eyed the tree. She could slip a foot further down, perhaps, but what would she grip onto then? The chances were she would go skidding down the tree and break an ankle, and that was if she was lucky. She might do even more damage. Nicholas pulled off his hat and began unbuttoning his jacket.
"What are you doing?"
"Not quite sure yet."
He folded his jacket and put it next to the hat, then unpopped the buttons of his waistcoat and added it to the pile. Taking a step back, he studied the tree again.
"Nicholas?"
He held up a hand.
"Just a moment."
Nodding to himself, he settled on his plan. If he could make it some way up there, he could help her more easily. If she made it up there, he could too, surely. He was taller and stronger than her too, so it would be easier for him to get down. Making a grab for the first branch, he hooked one foot on a notch and dragged himself up. He made a grab for the second branch and pressed his other foot flat against the bark.
"How the bloody hell did she do this?"
he muttered through gritted teeth.
"Put your foot there," she said. "There's a hole."
He glanced down and shoved his foot into the gap that was too tight for his big foot, really. He grunted with effort and pulled himself higher. With some difficulty, he wrenched his boot from the hole and climbed until his face was level with Amelia's ankle.
"Good afternoon," he said,
trying not to look at the revealed stocking and petticoats. Amelia laughed.
"Good afternoon, Nicholas."
She glanced down at his position.
"Now what?"
He kept one leg on the branch below and clung on to the one that her left foot rested on.
"Use me to climb down."
"Goodness, no."
She shook her head vigorously.
"You do not have much choice, Amelia."
"I shall take you down with me."
"I'm strong enough. Put your foot onto my shoulder, then slide down me. You can grip onto my waist and lower yourself down onto that branch."
He nodded his head down toward the branch in question.
"Could you not have just caught me?"
"I'm strong, Amelia, but not that strong."
His arms trembled from the effort of keeping his weight off the branch below him. It didn't feel strong enough to hold his weight. A crack sound told him he did not have long.
"Make haste, Amelia, or we'll end up trapped here forever."
"I..."
She glanced at his expression and must have seen the sweat beading on his forehead to know he was deadly serious about her hurrying up. "Very well,
but do not blame me if this all goes wrong.
I take full responsibility. Now hurry.
She took an audible breath and moved her foot from its position on the tree to his shoulder. He clenched his jaw and braced for the extra weight. She was a delicate thing, but the branch on which he stood was not intended to be clambered all over it by two humans. Her other leg dangled in front of his face, and he received a faceful of skirts. If he was not so fearful of them both falling to their doom, he might have enjoyed the feel of her body sliding down his.
"Oh!"
she squealed, as another cracking sound tore through the tree. He banded his fingers tighter around the branch above, and his arms trembled. Sweat made his shirt stick to his back. Briefly, she came face to face with him. He saw it again, that flash of excitement. It was gone in a second. Her foot dug into his thigh and he winced. Regret took its place, and she mouthed the sorry before making her way farther down his body.
"Almost there," she said. "Almost."
It happened in a blur of splintered wood and Amelia's cry in his ears. His body felt the fall before his brain understood what had happened. Wood grazed his palms, his shin bashed against the trunk. He saw Amelia's panicked face. Pain speared through his rear and back as he landed, kicking up a cloud of dry dirt. With a groan, he pushed himself up from the ground. He might have taken more time to analyze where he'd hurt himself, had he not seen Amelia in a crumpled ball at the base of the tree. The branch must have cracked, and he'd taken Amelia down with him. Stupid fool. He pushed up quickly, aware of a slight pang in his ankle, and hastened over to her side.
"Amelia."
She lifted her head slowly, her face pained.
"Ouch."
"Where does it hurt?"
He scanned her person for obvious signs of damage. There was no blood, but her skirts were torn and dirty.
"My bottom, mostly."
She laughed and winced.
"My leg, too, I think."
She lifted an arm and peered at her elbow. A bloody graze marred her skin.
"Nothing too serious."
He did not let himself breathe a sigh of relief until she shook her head. Crouching in front of her, he pressed his shirt sleeve to her elbow and wiped away the worst of the blood. She sucked in a sharp breath.
"Why do scrapes hurt so much more than anything else?"
"Perhaps so we can learn from them. It's a good way for our body to tell us not to do foolish things without damaging it too much."
He pulled away his shirt sleeve from the cut and put a hand to her dress.
"May I?"
Amelia nodded.
"My left calf."
He lifted her skirt with care and grimaced at the sight of torn stockings and a sizable cut down the front of her calf.
"You will need to go home and have that cleaned."
He reached for his jacket and retrieved a handkerchief.
"It is not too serious, but it's bleeding fairly rapidly."
She leaned over to eye it. It brought her face that much closer to his. She glanced up and met his gaze. Her green eyes darted to his, and that telltale colour rose in her cheeks. Nicholas glanced at her lips, admiring the petal pink colour, and recalling how soft and pliant they had been. Amelia's lips parted. He forgot the handkerchief and the pain in his body. He forgot falling from trees and reading books and visiting sisters. He leaned forward and touched his lips to hers. A startled but pleased sound escaped Amelia. He gripped her face in both hands and moved his mouth more forcefully over hers. Her hands came to his shoulders and dug into his shirt. When her tongue met his, hot desire spiked through him. He kissed her hard and fast and hungrily, feeling as though he had been stranded in that tree for weeks, and she was his first taste of food. A pang in his body reminded her that she was hurt, and this was not how to tend to an injured woman. When he broke away, they were both panting. He smiled apologetically and took the two torn sides of her stockings in both hands. He ripped them asunder, making Amelia gasp. Once he had the handkerchief pressed against the cut, he untied his cravat and used it to bind the fabric to her leg.
"Can you stand?" he asked.
"I think so."
Nicholas came to his feet and aided her up. He had to force himself to let go of her. He might not have had the opportunity to speak with her, but coming upon her like this had told him everything he needed to know. There were no more questions in his mind.
"I had better return home," she said,
clasping her hands in front of her and twining her fingers together.
"I should walk you home," he offered.
"No." She paused and smiled. "I mean, I do not think that's a good idea. After all, I have torn skirts and stockings. It would look awfully scandalous if anyone caught us." He gave a reluctant nod.
"You're right, of course."
But he still wanted to spend more time with her. Still, if he could, he was going to ensure they spent a lot more time together in future.
"I hope you've learned your lesson, Amelia."
"And what is that?"
"No more climbing trees."
She pursed her lips and thought for a moment. "Where's the fun in that?" He chuckled and watched her pivot away to the direction of her house. She stopped as though she wanted to say something, but instead gave him a little wave and hastened off into the field. Nicholas winced when he put weight on his ankle. He was likely bruised in several places and would be feeling the after-effects of this adventure for days. But it was utterly worth it. In that one sentence, Amelia had confirmed all his suspicions. She was the woman for him.
Chapter 10. "Girls?"
Amelia suppressed a groan as her mother's voice rattled through the house.
"Girls! Amelia! Catherine! Where are you? Girls!"
Catherine looked up from her book and placed down the pencil. "Do you suppose we have to answer?" "She will not give up until we do. It must be important."
"Julia!"
their mother screeched.
"Emma, where are you all?"
Julia glanced longingly out of the window.
"I'd so hoped to go out and sketch today. The wildflowers are blooming wonderfully at the moment."
"Maybe she will not keep us long," suggested Emma.
All four of them moved from their various spots in the rear drawing room and made their way through to the entrance hall. Mama had not yet removed her pelisse, nor her hat. Her cheeks were flushed with excitement.
"Where were you all?" she demanded.
"We came as soon as we heard you," Amelia said. "What's the hurry?" Mama thrust a letter her way, and Amelia scanned the writing.
"An invitation? That is why we were to hurry."
"An invitation to a ball," her mother said smugly. "In only 2 days' time. We must hurry to town and ensure you have new ribbons and flowers for your hair."
"Oh, shopping," Catherine declared.
Emma clapped her hands together at the idea of something new. Julia rolled her eyes.
"I don't need any new ribbons, and you know I detest wearing flowers."
Mama waved a dismissive hand.
"Yes, we all know, Julia. You remind us every time we wear them. I'd rather see them in a field than on a head,"
everyone finished for her. Julia huffed and folded her arms.
"Where is the ball, Amelia?" Emma asked. "Perhaps I shall be able to play one of my songs."
Amelia resisted the urge to bury her face in her hands. If Emma sang one of her songs, they would never hear the end of it, and the Chadwick girls would have another black mark to their name.
"It's at Uxbridge. Nicholas is hosting it," Amelia explained,
trying to ignore the little skip it created in her chest.
"But that is not all," their mother hissed. "I've heard from a reliable source that he intends to announce an engagement at the ball."
Catherine swung a glance Amelia's way. Amelia gave her head a little shake.
"Engagement?" Catherine demanded. "He said nothing of any such occurrence when we visited with him only a few days ago. Are you sure, Mama?" "Quite sure. I heard it from Mrs. Lamb, who had been speaking with dear old Mr. Whitby. He heard it from Miss Davis, who had been speaking with one of the maids at Uxbridge. It cannot be denied."
"It's hardly certain, then, is it?" Catherine whispered to Amelia. "Mr. Whitby is half blind and almost fully deaf. How could he pass on gossip?"
"Well," their mother continued, finally unbuttoning the pelisse and motioning for Mrs. Bramley to remove it. "It seems this mysterious fiancé has been writing to the Viscount. The maid caught sight of one of the letters."
Catherine shot another look Amelia's way, and Amelia shook her head once more. She tried to absorb the information, really she did, but it was hard to understand. Indeed, it had only been recently that they had renewed their friendship, but surely he would have mentioned a fiancé, especially after he, well, kissed her. Twice. A heavy pang of dread settled in her stomach.
She had been on that road before, that dark and dangerous one that would mean years of heartache and longing. She supposed at least she found this out sooner rather than later, before she fell head over toes in love with him again. Because she was not in love with him again, no, not one bit. Just because she liked his kisses and the way his eyes creased in the corners when he saw her did not mean she loved him. "It's about time he married," mused Mama. "Of course, we always hoped Lavinia would marry him. But I cannot begrudge my daughter a handsome Scotsman. Perhaps she shall be willing to return home for Nicholas's wedding." Just the thought of Nicholas marrying, and her having to attend the wedding, all pretend smiles and false wishes, made Amelia's stomach hurt. "I cannot deny I had hoped he might choose one of you instead. But what is one to do when one has bookish, red-headed daughters? One cannot expect too much." Julia rolled her eyes. "Is that all, then, Mama? Do you need us for anything else?" "I was not done yet, Julia," her mother scolded. "You need not be rude." Their mother moved through into the second parlour room, and they all followed like ducklings following the mother duck. They knew well enough that it was easier to indulge their mother in her need to share gossip than to make excuses to escape. She sat and waved a hand in front of her face. "All this news has me quite weary. Ring for some tea, Catherine." Catherine did as she was bid, while their mother leaned forward. "Now, girls, if there is to be a ball, there shall be some eligible gentlemen." Emma barely stifled a groan. Mama shot her a sharp look. "I want you to be on your best behaviour, and no talking of books or nature or stars or—" Mama's gaze settled on Emma. "Or whatever it is you're doing now, Emma." A dreamy look entered her eyes. "Imagine your father's surprise if I manage to marry one of you off before his return." "Mama," Amelia cautioned. While she might hope for happy endings for her sisters, none of them would be willing to marry a man they had met once at a ball. Nor would they be willing to suppress their interests for a man. She feared her mother's dreams were going to be dashed. "Well, I like a good dance," Catherine said cheerfully, "especially if my partner is handsome, but I cannot promise not to speak of the stars." Mama's smile vanished. "Whatever did I do to deserve such bookish daughters? I swear I do not know where it comes from." She sighed and cast her gaze over all of them. "Oh, well, at least one of you is married off." "Exactly." Julia stood and gave their mother a kiss on the cheek. Mama's dour expression softened. "Now, I will wear new ribbons, but you will not catch me with flowers, Mama." A reluctant smile came across her face. "That is progress indeed. What say you, girls? Shall we do a little shopping to ready for the ball?" "Yes," they all declared. Amelia's sisters crowded around their mother and covered her in kisses. They all laughed, but Amelia could not bring herself to join in the fun. Who could Nicholas be engaged to, and why had he been so charming and pleasant to her? Why had he led her down a false path of hope? Her sisters might be looking forward to a chance to dance and be merry, but she could not. Not when all her hopes would be dashed forever. Chapter 11. Lamps and candles glimmered in every corner, highlighting the gold embellishments surrounding the ballroom. Redesigned by his mother when she had married his father, the room spoke of subtle elegance. Cream-striped walls were set off by large golden-framed mirrors, while the ceilings were plain, with only a large ceiling rose in the centre to draw attention to the spectacular chandelier. The orchestra played a subtle tune in the background. Nicholas drew in a breath. He rocked on his heels and peered down the long line of guests. Tonight was a risk, to be sure, but if he had learned nothing from life, he had learned that risks were often necessary and far too much fun. He greeted his guests with the usual courtesy, and he hoped none could tell he was entirely distracted. There was only one guest he cared about. A flash of red caught his eye, and his heart did a leap in his chest. He heard them all before he saw them again. All four girls, talking excitedly, whilst Mrs. Chadwick tried to calm them. When they finally reached him, he could not help but grin, particularly when he laid eyes on Amelia. Dressed in a slender column of pale silk,
Her hair was coiled carefully and scattered with dainty white flowers. The red tone of her hair made everything that much more vibrant and interesting. She met his gaze, just, before dropping it to the ground. He eyed her lips, and that same thought that always occurred to him ran through his mind. Why had he never seen her before? Not properly, at least. He could have saved himself a lot of heartache if he had.
"Everyone looks wonderful," Emma gushed. She peered over his shoulder. "Do I see a piano? Oh, I hope—" "So kind of you to invite us," Catherine cut in.
"My pleasure."
"Yes, so, so kind," Mrs. Chadwick agreed. "But what, pray tell, is the occasion? And to put together a ball with such haste, it must be an important occasion indeed."
He doubted Mrs. Chadwick fully understood quite what the ball was in honour of, but she had likely heard some gossip. He certainly hoped so. He had been trying to ensure word spread of this mysterious letter-writing lady. Apparently Amelia had either not heard the gossip, or had not understood his intentions, or else she would surely have grasped what was happening, would she not?
"I cannot say, Mrs. Chadwick, not yet at least, but I can assure you this ball is in honour of a very special person."
"Oh!"
Mrs. Chadwick's eyes widened.
"I do hope we shall be introduced to her, this special person."
"You shall indeed."
Amelia barely glanced at him as they moved past. He had to force himself away from watching her rear move in that delectable gown as she headed into the ballroom. Greeting the rest of his guests took far too long, and he kept having to stop his feet from twitching. One of the last guests to arrive was a Sir Smythe, who had moved into the area only recently, having let one of the houses a few miles away. The stout man looked as though he had already danced several country reels and was about to keel over. Red cheeks and a shining forehead made Nicholas wince.
"Why do you not take a seat?" he offered. "Oh, I will, I will. But let me take in the splendour first. And I see many lovely ladies here tonight. Of course, I would not have expected anything less."
He took a quick breath.
"Let me say, I am grateful for the chance to get to know more of the local families. What fine families they are, too. I think myself lucky indeed to have been afforded the opportunity to live in an area with such affable people. One does not always find so many accommodating people. Do you not agree, my lord?"
Nicholas opened his mouth, but Sir Smythe continued.
"My oldest son, married and living quite the life in London, could not understand my desire to move to the country. I told him I was only a few hours from London, but he could not see how there was any fun to be had. Of course, an old man like myself is no longer in search of fun. However," he wagged a finger, "I do enjoy good company and fine conversation, and I have never found there to be better conversation and company than in Hampshire."
He clasped his hands behind his back and rocked on his heels.
"Yes, indeed. London might have a lot to offer, but so too does the country."
He pulled out a handkerchief and dabbed his head.
My youngest son, however, quite likes the countryside."
Nicholas gritted his teeth and braced himself.
"He shall be visiting in a month or two. I hope to introduce him to all the accommodating people here, perhaps even find himself a nice lady. Those young Chadwick girls are pleasant, are they not?"
"Yes, pleasant indeed."
"Yes, yes. One of those would do nicely. I heard that they like their books a little too much, but the oldest one seems to be quite sensible."
Of course, Sir Smythe could have little idea how what he was saying would affect Nicholas, but he could not help but curl a fist at the idea of any other man having Amelia.
"I must say—"
Nicholas held up a hand. "Forgive me, I think the first dance is starting, and I am promised to Mrs. Langley." Sir Smythe opened his mouth, but Nicholas hastened off before he could utter another word. The man meant no harm, but damn it, he did not put together a ball in 2 days simply so that man could talk his ear off. No, he had much more important things to deal with, or really, more important people. He had not lied about promising the first dance to Mrs. Langley, but that was not his intention in getting away from the talkative Mr. Smythe. He cut a sharp corner and headed directly toward the gaggle of Chadwick girls. He stopped in front of Amelia, and she was forced to meet his gaze. Her eyes shone with confusion, and if he was not mistaken, a little hurt. He would fix that before the night was out, he hoped.
Can I have the second dance?
She lifted her wrist and looked at her dance card, even though he knew full well she had not had the time to fill it yet.
Yes.
He smiled at the thought of holding her close, being only one dance away. A wrinkle appeared between her brows, and he fought the urge to kiss it away. He supposed it would be one way of announcing his intentions, but there were a few things they needed to discuss first. He hardly noticed the first dance, or Mrs. Langley. Whether she took note of his disinterest, he had little idea, but he could not bring himself to care. All of Nicholas's attention remained on Amelia. As he bowed and murmured something complimentary to Mrs. Langley, he locked gazes with Amelia. She'd been watching him the whole dance. Even when his head had been turned the other way, he'd felt her gaze upon him. He thought back to the letter he'd read, and the books. To most people in the room, it would be hard to see that Amelia was capable of writing such things, but to him it all made sense. Behind that sensible facade was a woman who dreamed of passion and excitement. He just needed to get her to admit as much.
"You dance wonderfully," Mrs. Chadwick commented. "Almost as well as Lavinia's husband."
"Mother," Amelia hissed.
"I did not know Scots were naturally gifted dancers," he said wryly.
"Oh, yes, at least Neil is, but perhaps Lavinia is lucky."
Mrs. Chadwick gave a wave of her fan.
"You have been lucky too, have you not, Nicholas?"
Catherine prompted. He peered at the younger sister. Was she referring to the kiss she had witnessed, or the rumours? Did she know what he intended? Catherine was infamous for saying what she wanted, when she wanted, and few recognised the great intellect behind her character. But if anyone had figured out his intentions, it would be Catherine.
"Have I indeed?"
"Well, of course. We've heard the gossip. You are to be engaged, are you not?"
Catherine lifted a brow and swung a look Amelia's way. Amelia hissed.
"I shall reveal all soon enough, but I think this is our dance, Amelia. Shall we?"
He offered his arm and led her onto the dance floor.
"Oh, a waltz."
Amelia glanced around the room as the Master of Ceremonies announced the song.
"Indeed."
Deliberately chosen, so he could take her into his arms. Waltzes were still seldom danced in the country, but he noted there was not a lack of willing dancers. How could there be, when one got to take a beautiful woman in their arms?
"I had not looked at my dance card properly," she confessed quietly.
He pulled her into him, barely allowing her any room. Heat built inside of him instantly. Her red lashes fluttered against her cheeks, and rosiness gathered in her cheeks. From here he could count each freckle, what he would not give to discover the rest of them. He could see them dancing across her chest and down. Did they cover her entire body, or just her shoulders? Hopefully, if all went well, he would not have to wait too long to discover. The music began, and he led her around the dance floor. Her body aligned perfectly with his, allowing him to control the momentum. Others whirled past them, but he barely noticed. All he could think of was how warm her skin felt through the silk. The familiar scent of violets wrapped their arousing blanket around him. He smiled to himself. Once upon a time, he would have thought there was nothing better than the scent of vanilla, the scent that Lavinia wore. How wrong he'd been. Lavinia would never blush at being taken in his arms, likely because she would never be thinking scandalous thoughts. But he was willing to bet that, just as he was considering those freckles on her body, Amelia was thinking of what he looked like under his clothes.
"I am sorry about Catherine, and my mother, really," she finally said.
"You have nothing to be sorry for."
I hope you are happy, if you are to be, married."
"I will be if the lady says yes."
"Oh."
"Oh?"
She licked her lips, pasted on a smile, and met his gaze once more.
"I'm sure she shall. You are a wonderful man, Nicholas. What woman would say no?"
He wouldn't mention Lavinia. Both of them knew well enough she'd turned him down flat once the Scotsman had arrived in Hampshire. And he did not want to be thinking of or speaking of her anyway. His admiration for Lavinia had been fickle. Lavinia, it seemed, had been smart enough to see that what he felt for her was not true love.
I hope she will not say no.
He whirled her a little faster, drawing her close. He let his breaths tickle over her ear.
If she does, I shall be heartbroken, a mere shell of a man.
She shall not deny you, Amelia said, a little breathless.
How can you know?
He spun her and spun her, watching her eyes go wide as they danced recklessly around the ballroom. Nicholas, she exclaimed. It was all he needed, the slight smile on her lips and the excitement in her eyes. Underneath that tight bodice was the perfect match for him. When the music finished, he kept her close. Her breaths came heavily.
How can you know?
He asked again. The excitement in her eyes dulled, and the smile turned into a straight line. You are everything a woman could want. It is as simple as that. She glanced around the room and back at him. Forgive me, I'm quite hot. I must get some air. She tore away from him and dashed out of the open doors into the gardens. Nicholas let his lips curve into a smile. It was no confession of love, but it was enough. Time to end this charade and get what he really wanted. Chapter 12. Amelia sucked in lungfuls of air, but they could not quell the pain in her chest. It had been residing there since she had heard the rumours of his engagement, but they had just been rumours. It was easy enough to push them from her mind. But there was no denying it now. Nicholas would get married, and she was as in love with him as ever. She peered up at the clear skies and eyed the diamond-like sparkles set against a black backdrop. If Catherine were by her side, she would be telling her all about the patterns and their names. They blurred in front of her as tears singed her eyes. Silly girl, she told herself. After all, she had suffered through him falling for her sister. She could endure worse. The dull strains of music sifted through the air, and a light breeze moved around her. Not enough to chill her, but it brushed against her tears, making them feel cold on her face. Lanterns were lit up the two paths that cut between bushes, leading off into the orchard. No one was to be seen in the gardens. Most likely everyone was waiting for the grand announcement. Who was this blasted woman anyway? Another tear rolled down her cheek, and she swiped it viciously away. Silly, silly girl.
You dropped something.
Her stomach lurched, and the pain in her chest grew tenfold. Why had he followed her? It was bad enough she had to suffer watching him be happy with someone else. She could not bear it if he discovered her feelings for him, too. Trying to conceal a sniffle, she dabbed her eyes discreetly and turned. Nicholas held out a letter. Nausea swelled in her gut. Oh, no. He smiled as he handed it to her. She eyed the writing on the outside. There was no need to open it. She knew what it contained. She must have dropped it when she had recovered the letters, and it did not matter which one it was, they were all filled with her love for him. Amelia straightened her shoulders. Of course, they were not signed by her. Perhaps he did not know. Oh, Lord, she prayed he did not. I do not think this is mine. He moved closer.
Are you certain?
She nodded emphatically. I am.
Well, that's a pity. I wrote a reply.
A reply?
Yes, would you like to see it?
He was too handsome. His lips were pulled into a sly smile. The moonlight picked out the parts of his features she loved most, his eyes that crinkled at the corners, and his strong jaw, his broad shoulders and long legs, that wavy hair. It almost broke her. He pulled a letter out of his jacket and handed it over.
I think you should take a look.
She stared at him, mouth open, and took the letter. His eyes were full of amusement. She frowned and plucked open the letter. Her heart slammed against her ribs at the first line.
Miss Amelia Chadwick, or A. Hardwick. I am not a writer, not as you are. You have quite the talent, it seems. I am a man of action, you see, but I shall try to put what I can into words. You have been in my life for many years, and were always a dear friend. Your family has been a constant in my life that I will forever treasure. But I was blind in so many ways.
I do not wholly blame myself. You, my dear Amelia, have been guilty of deception. I see it all now. I know it all now. Underneath your sensible manner is a woman who runs hot with passion and desires excitement. In you, I see me. And I must tell you, the moment I realized that was the most exciting moment of my life. You are, I believe, what I have been looking for. Without even understanding, that was what was missing. I have no more words for you except this. If the words of A. Hardwick still ring true, will you marry me? Yours, Nicholas. She could hardly read the last line. The words blurred with her tears, and several plopped down onto the paper. Amelia sucked in a lungful of air to try to steady herself. Was this real? Was this some dream? She tried to blink away the tears to look at him, but they refused to budge. Nicholas closed the gap between them and swiped away several tears with a thumb. His warm palm cupped her face.
Why do you cry?
Because I cannot believe it.
What can I do to convince you?
She swallowed. How long have you known? Nicholas glanced back at the open doors and took her hand to lead her deeper into the garden. They ducked around behind the tall hedgerow, and he led her into a gazebo. Open to the night air, but lit with two lamps inside, it offered a cosy escape for them. He urged her to sit on the cushioned bench, and he sat next to her.
How long have I known I loved you, or how long have I known you were A. Hardwick?
She frowned. Both, I suppose.
I had an inkling after the river.
You said something then, something about not seeing me before.
Yes.
He took her hand and pressed a kiss to her knuckles, then held it in both hands.
It was as though the curtain had fallen away. I saw you for who you are, and I realized I had seen that woman before, and I had chosen not to notice.
And the letters?
I recognized you.
Amelia pressed a hand to her forehead. Oh, no. Julia said I made a perfect delivery boy.
Well, Julia perhaps did not count on my recognizing your delectable rear in those trousers.
Warmth spilled into her cheeks. She should be scandalized, but the fact he had noticed sent a frisson of excitement through her. So as soon as you read the letters, you knew it was me? He nodded.
There were enough hints for me to figure it out. After that, I read through any of your books I could get my hands on. It turns out my mother is quite a fan of yours.
Goodness!
Why did you not want me to read them, Amelia?
It was embarrassing. Besides, no one could know I was A. Hardwick. The whole family would be scandalized, and it's hard enough for my sisters to be Chadwicks as it is.
They seem to be doing a fine job of it. Did you really think I would reveal all?
It was not a chance I could take. Amelia swallowed the knot in her throat. Why did you not say something?
I did not know if you still harbored those feelings, and I wanted to be certain of my own feelings. I would not hurt you for all the world. Seeing you tiptoeing along that bridge told me all I needed to know.
Looking into his eyes, she straightened her spine, bracing herself for the question that would hurt the most. What of Lavinia? Everyone thought you still loved her. His smile twisted.
I may have been wrong about Lavinia.
Wrong?
I thought I loved her, to be sure, but what sort of life would we have had together? Lavinia was never meant to be the bride of someone who rode too fast and fought too hard. I think she knew that better than I did.
He leaned in and cupped her face with both hands, forcing her gaze to remain on his.
I was wrong about Lavinia. I had suspected that for a while, but I knew for certain when I finally saw you. Whatever I felt for her pales in comparison.
All the air vanished from her chest. She could find no words. She, who wrote for a living, had nothing to say. Could this really be happening? Did she really deserve so much joy?
Do you understand? It pales in comparison to what I feel for you, my sweet, lovely, naughty Amelia.
She parted her lips and searched his face. Pressing her hand to his where he cupped her face, she gave the back of his hand a little pinch.
Ouch! What was that for?
He kept his hands on her face. I was checking this was real.
You're meant to pinch yourself.
He grinned.
It's real, I promise.
Amelia gazed into his eyes, recalling all those times when he'd seemed to look through her, how she'd yearned for him to finally realize what was in front of him.
So, will you answer my letter?
He pressed. You shall have to wait a few days for a response, she replied primly, though not feeling at all prim with the way he started leaning in. His breath brushed her lips and smelled of warm brandy. Tingles raced through her.
Wait, he murmured. Why must I wait?
You kept me waiting long enough, she said with a grin.
Minx.
His lips brushed hers, soft and warm. A sigh escaped her.
Is there anything I can do to change your mind?
Perhaps. His lips skimmed hers again, but his patience did not last long. He used his mouth to coax hers open, and his tongue met hers. The hot, itchy feeling pervaded through her, that feeling of needing more, so much more. Nicholas kissed her deeply with long, luxurious strokes that left her in no doubt this was real. When he pulled away, she felt wanting and empty.
Changed your mind yet?
His smug smile made her want to smack his shoulder or kiss him again. Kissing was probably the best idea. She grinned. Very well, then.
Very well, then what?
I shall marry you. His smile grew triumphant.
You will not regret it, Amelia, I swear. I will spend the rest of my years making up for being so blind.
You could start now. She toyed with the fabric of his cravat.
I could, he agreed.
His hand slid up her neck, cupping just under the curls. She tilted her head into the touch. Nicholas used the movement to his advantage and pressed his lips to her exposed skin. Shivers trailed their fingers up and down her spine. He put a hand to her waist and pulled her closer still. Their thighs touched. She was aware of every part of her body, and yet she was utterly lost to him.
I read about the adventures of Anna and Nathaniel, he said against her skin,
leaving lingering words against her neck and down to the crook of her shoulder and collarbone.
Lots of kissing in shadowy corners.
He skimmed the hand on her waist up and brushed the edge of her breast. Her nipples ached in response. Even through the layers of her stays and gown, she could feel every little thing he did.
You have quite the imagination, Amelia.
Mm-hmm, she agreed, and twined her fingers into his hair to coax him where she needed him most. He must have taken it as his permission, as he palmed one breast and coaxed it up and out of her stays. The cool air against her nipple made her gasp, but not as much as when he put his warm mouth about it. He drew her nipple between his teeth and nibbled and sucked on it. Amelia arched into him, and he pressed a hand to her back to hold her against him.
Were there things you did not write about? Things that would scandalize even the most open-minded of readers?
She smiled to the night air. He really did know her so well. Of course. Not even her sisters realized how vivid and naughty her imagination could be. They might have read her books, but they saw it as a romance story and nothing more. But to her mind, there had always been more to Anna and Nathaniel's tale. So much more. He looked up at her.
Were there ever moments like this?
She shook her head. An eyebrow arched.
No.
No. Even my imagination is not this bold.
But are you, Amelia?
He hauled her close and kissed the corner of her mouth.
Now I have you, I do not want to let you go. I want you fully and completely.
It was her turn to cup his face and lean back to look in his eyes. I've waited a long time for you, Nicholas. I do not want to wait any longer.
Good.
He kissed her until her limbs were like oil. Her breaths were heated and frantic. Strains of a country dance whispered over them as he coaxed her to lie on the cushion. Her curls crushed under her head, and her skirts had ridden up to reveal her stockings. Anyone could come across them at any moment. The thought made her stomach flutter with exhilaration. Nicholas shucked off his jacket and flung it aside somewhere. She laughed at his careless manner. He popped the buttons of his waistcoat and leaned over her. Nibbling at her earlobe, he let his breath tickle the shell of her ear. She gripped his shoulders.
beautiful, naughty, scandalous Amelia. Wait until I have you in our marriage bed. We shall live out all your fantasies and more.
Oh, Lord, she said to the roof of the gazebo. He pushed down the shoulder of her gown and bit her there, suckling until it left a mark that would be hidden under her dress, but they would both know it was there. Then he pressed up her skirts until she was bared to him. His fingers found her sex, and the first touch made her jolt. She forced herself to take a breath, and he watched her face while he toyed with her there. His fingers worked a magic she had not even known was possible. Her own explorations were like her writing, fun and exciting, but nothing like the real thing.
"That's it," he encouraged, as she gave herself up to him.
Pleasure flowed over her in waves, increasing in tempo, until the storm crashed through her. She gripped his arm, closed her eyes, and cried out. Whether anyone could hear her, she did not care. It only added to the thrill. As reality slipped in fragments, the music, the lantern light, the touch of air on her heated skin, she smiled. Nicholas opened his breeches and she glanced at him. A pulse of desire ran through her. She wanted nothing more than to be filled by him, to be wholly his, once and for all. He pushed apart her legs and settled between them.
Hook your legs around me.
She did as he bid, and felt his erection touch her folds. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord.
You can call me Nicholas, he said with a grin.
Amelia had no witty response. Staring into her eyes, he inched into her bit by bit until they were fully joined. He gave her a few moments to get used to him inside her. It had no comparison. The swelling of love inside her, now that they were connected, as close as any two humans could connect, made her want to burst.
You and me, Amelia. Always. I will never be blind again.
Yes, she whispered.
And you will never keep your feelings secret from me.
He gave her a serious look.
I mean it. No more secrets.
He smiled.
Though you may write me letters, as long as they are scandalous in content.
You have my word, my lord, she said saucily. They shall always be scandalous.
Excellent.
He slid back and pressed into her. Her breath caught. Always scandalous, she promised again. He carried her on the tide then, moving in and out, one, two, three, and more, until she did not know if she was begging for more or for the peak. The tempest broke. Nicholas groaned. She cried his name. He sagged against her, his weight a gentle reminder of all that was hers.
I love you, my naughty Amelia.
I love you, Nicholas. Epilogue. I knew you still loved him. Catherine handed over Amelia's bouquet of flowers and smiled smugly. Julia rolled her eyes. Well, everyone does now. It's hardly a great secret. After all, they are getting married in front of over 100 people. Catherine put hands to her hips. Yes, but I knew it before everyone else. I was the one who caught them kissing. Amelia managed to control her blush at the thought of the many secretive kisses she and Nicholas had enjoyed since the announcement of their engagement. To be finally, properly allowed to be affectionate with him would be wonderful.
Shh about the kiss, Emma hissed. We do not need anyone to think we Chadwick girls are any more scandalous than we already are.
Of course, Amelia's sisters knew all about the kiss, and some of the details of the proposal. Once their engagement had been announced at the ball, her sisters had pressed her for every tiny detail, until her head spun with it all. It had been hard enough to believe it was actually happening, without having to convey it all to them.
"Do you think Amelia's marriage will make us a little more respectable?" Emma asked.
Catherine snorted. "Not likely. The old bats of the temps have long memories." She thrust up her chin. "Besides, I have no intentions of bowing and scraping before them. Do you?" Julia laughed. "Oh, bats! Do not let Mother hear you say that." "Well, they are." Catherine crossed her arms. "You might not care for their opinion," Amelia said, "but do try to be on your best behaviour today.
Nicholas has quite a few important friends here today.
Oh, he won't care.
Catherine waved a hand. He will only have eyes for you. Emma gave a dreamy sigh.
I did not think love was that interesting, but seeing how Nicholas looks at you, Amelia, well, perhaps love is not all that mad.
Amelia smiled, her chest warm with love for her wonderful silly sisters and overflowing with it for her husband-to-be. All those years of waiting and hoping had come to fruition, and only Nicholas truly knew her. For most people, they would only ever know her through her books, but behind closed doors she could finally be something more than the sensible older sister.
"Love suits Amelia," Julia agreed.
"Won't find me falling in love," Catherine stated. "Never, ever."
"Huh! Who would want to love you anyway?"
Emma scoffed.
"You are every man's worst nightmare."
"Emma," Amelia scolded. "That was cruel." Catherine shrugged.
"She's only being truthful. No man wants a woman like me, or any of us, and I do not care a fig."
Amelia shook her head. Catherine did not care for men, but she was only young. Once she turned 20, she'd wager Catherine would care a lot more for men. As for her other sisters, Julia was too busy digging in the dirt or chasing animals to care about love. Emma was perhaps keener, but then she was the second oldest. However, if Emma could not settle on a hobby, how could she expect to settle on a man?
"Nicholas wants Amelia," Julia pointed out, "so much so that he procured a special license for them to wed. Amelia is the exception and far more deserving of love than any of us," Emma said.
"That's true," Catherine agreed. "All those years of looking after us, you deserve happiness." Tears swelled in Amelia's eyes. She had spent so many days worrying for her sisters, it was hard to believe she would not see them every day. Emma darted forward with a handkerchief and dabbed Amelia's eyes.
"Now don't you cry. You'll set the rest of us off."
Julia nodded and sniffed. All three of her sisters looked a little teary, even Catherine, who kept her head slightly turned away so no one could see. As Amelia opened her arms to her sisters, the vestry door pushed open. Amelia nearly dropped her flowers.
"Lavinia!"
Lavinia swept into the room and embraced Amelia quickly.
"I'm sorry I'm a mess."
She motioned up and down her spotless gown and perfect hair.
"We travelled all night and I had no chance to change."
"You look perfect," Amelia said. "But we did not expect you to be able to come."
"And miss out on my big sister's wedding? Never."
Lavinia patted her hair.
"I insisted we must come at once, even if I could not make the wedding. I had to see you all. It feels like it has been too long already."
"It has," Amelia agreed. "I always knew he was destined for someone better, you know." A twinkle appeared in Lavinia's eyes. Amelia scowled.
"Better? Oh, yes. I would have bored Nicholas to death. Thank goodness he came to his senses. As soon as I heard of your engagement, I just knew you'd be perfect together, with your imagination and his adventurous spirit."
Amelia knew that. She had known it for a while, she supposed. But to hear her sister say as much filled her with gratitude. Her vision grew misty again.
"Stop it!"
Julia thrust the handkerchief back at her.
"I shall only be a few miles away,"
Amelia reminded them all, sniffing.
"You can see me every day."
"Try and stop us," Catherine declared. Amelia opened her arms, and her sisters flung themselves at her. The five of them laughed, as Amelia nearly toppled backward from the weight of them all.
"Whatever the future holds," she assured them, "we will always have each other."
"Always," they agreed. The end. This has been Amelia and the Viscount, Blue Stocking Brides, Book 1, written by Samantha Holt, narrated by Stevie Zimmerman. Copyright 2017 by Samantha Holt. Production copyright 2017 by Samantha Holt.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.